much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, man, I love you, bro. I wouldn't hurt you. I'd never put a hand on you.
I know that.
Just don't f*** up, because I'm not the only one with hands in this world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. I love you, too. Let's do this.
Yeah, hey, stop talking.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
New from K-Tel Records, 22 explosive hits, 22 original stars, and many more. Only $3.99.
You okay with some music? You like a little Limp Bizkit?
Here.
You like a little biscuit?
Yeah.
Yeah? You want some lounge? I used to listen to this back in the day. This is hot. Oh my God, that is nice. That is nice.
Someone explain, please?
I don't think so.
And now.
This may not be politically correct, but let's just fire all the minorities.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday morning, the 17th of September.
What's up, fam?
Hello.
What's happening?
Hello. I was thinking about you, Jensen, when I saw this news story that I'm getting ready to read. You've been running a very successful gallery.
What? What happened?
Wrong button. Sorry.
Okay.
Jensen's like, what do you know?
Meant to go for this.
I thought, have I already been eliminated?
No.
Did I just lose the game show?
No, you're thinking about Jensen. Go ahead.
Not like that.
Okay.
Not like that. You've been running a gallery for a very long time.
sorry, wrong button.
Gallery 1988 on Melrose. And I was wondering if anyone had ever stolen or attempted to steal anything right off the wall.
We have had homeless people sort of pick something off the wall and contemplate it, or just be weird and homeless. But never.
But they don't really. They're not slick. They don't really try. Have a plan.
No. I don't think they know where they would take art to do anything with it. Like, for example, one year our glass got broken out in the front of the gallery, and the alarm went off, and they ran in the shop and kind of like tried to break the cash register and took a laptop. Right. That was as much, and then got out.
Was that the night of the purge, though? Because that would be okay.
Well, then it's legal. But they passed like a $45,000 painting that month, just to, you know, just like went right by it. Because what are they going to do with it, really?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so
a tent.
Yeah.
That's why I don't steal a lot of stuff, is because I just don't have the connections for fencing, you know?
Right.
Otherwise, I would. And, of course,
I see you as a master thief.
Sure, yeah. Of course, the new movie, The Goldfinch, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning book, is coming out about a guy who steals a painting off a wall and sets off a whole chain of events. So that's why this story was very interesting to me. Maybe you saw it. This is an Italian artist named Maurizio Cattelan. And he has an exhibition that has been touring the world. It was at the Guggenheim in New York for a year back in 2016, where over 100,000 people paid to see it. You have to pay to see
big deal.
This piece of art, because it is a toilet.
I'm sorry?
So you pay for 3 minutes to use the toilet, and then you do toilet things. The reason it is significant is because it is...
What do you mean you do toilet things?
Well, I mean, it's an
other than using the toilet.
I'm saying it's an actual working toilet.
Pay to use that toilet?
That's right.
I made a poopy in my diaper.
And how much?
You pay. I don't know what they charge for the 3 minutes that you have, but the reason why over 100,000 people at the Guggenheim in New York paid to use that particular toilet is that it is made out of solid gold. It is estimated to be worth between $5 and $6 million. It is a solid gold, fully functioning toilet. Okay?
I love too much money. On YouTube.
It is called America, by the way. That is the name of the piece. It is supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek comment on the American dream and excessive wealth in our country and everything like that. So it's in the news right now because it has been stolen.
Oh.
How
would you do that?
Well, a lot of people are wondering that same question because, I mean, it's plumbed in. It's connected to the plumbing, okay? And it was at a place with a lot of security, too. Blenheim Palace, which was the estate of the Churchill family. In fact, where Winston Churchill, the former prime minister of the UK, where he was actually born. Their family lived there for over 300 years, and now it is an art museum. And it was just installed last Thursday. It was supposed to run until the 27th of October. And somebody broke in on Saturday morning and stole it. They and got away with it, too, by the way. They have no idea where it is. Again, it's worth almost $6 million. There are some who are accusing the artist of this being some sort of a Banksy-style heist.
Yeah, inside job.
He was called and he said, at first when they woke me up with the news, I thought it was a prank. Who's so stupid as to steal a toilet? I had forgotten for a second that it was made out of gold. I wish it were a prank. So they have arrested a man in connection with the robbery, a 66-year-old man who has not yet been named, but they have not released any details about
it. It's like it doesn't flush. I stole a malfunctioning toilet.
But it did flush before they stole it. I mean, you have to hook it up to the plumbing. But isn't that, I mean, let's go back to your fencing question about your gallery, Jensen. Mm-hmm. What's somebody going to do with that? I guess they're not going to fence it. They're just going to melt it down, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that they're going to try it. I mean, you can't go on eBay and sell the gold toilet. You know right. what I mean? Like, this is a very distinctive item and art piece. So what are you going to do?
And it's also getting a fair amount of press, so anybody involved in art will likely hear about this as
yes,
well.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what you do is you, I mean, does the average person have a place they can go to melt down something into gold bars?
I do, yeah.
Oh, you have someone, Allie?
Yeah. I thought you guys don't
no,
have,
we have our own gold. Oh. Yeah, we don't have our own.
Oh, that's sad.
Can we work that. Through you then?
Yeah, if you steal a gold toilet, uh-huh. I will melt that bad boy down. Do you okay. want it in bars or coins? What do you want?
Coins mostly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
That's a little extra.
I want it made into a urinal.
Wow. All right. I can
that's
hire
vision
someone.
Right there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's crazy that somebody thought to do that and did it and got away with it. Now, last question before we move on, and that is, if you were at a museum or at this Churchill House, would you pay to sit on a gold toilet?
No.
Just for the thrill of using something that's worth $6 million to poop in?
We have different ideas of thrill.
Okay. Jensen, I know you have very specific rules about pooping in public. Would you make an exception for the $6 million gold toilet?
No, they would be too difficult for me because also there's going to be a line outside yeah. waiting for you to come out and listening. And
timing.
Plus, yeah.
Yeah, plus that, three, up, that, that 3 minutes when the door yeah. springs open.
Oh, yeah.
Done or not. That's a good point, too.
All good. Right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Tell the truth!
Adam Conover will join us today. From Adam Ruins Everything.
He ruins everything, man.
He does.
He's safe here.
We're already ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Things you did in your sleep we're going to talk about today.
A lot of those.
We have a secret break. That has nothing
oh,
to do with...
come on.
Nothing to do with Bean, except
yeah,
for perhaps
Bean.
It's all about him.
Why do you think it's about you?
Then what's it about, Kevin?
I mean, it's about one of the people on the show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, so if it's not me, who's it about?
Well, it's about someone on the show.
Yes.
And the three of us here.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Kevin, myself, and Allie have worked on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
No, you're fine.
I don't know where you're getting that from.
You're good to go.
And we have another brand new game. And as you know, these games really, really fly on the first try.
They're mm-hmm. awesome.
So we've got some tickets for Black Keys we're going to give you every hour today. We have a game that you can play that we believe you'll be able to win.
Is it called Tunes?
It is not. Although we are retooling that and starting that again. I think we want
no pun intended.
We want to have another. We have another run at that one.
Okay.
All right. We'll take a break. We're going to 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Hey, this time tomorrow, going to be a very special Kevin and Bean Show, especially for us, because Beer Mug will not be in the studio, ladies
Woo-hoo!
And gentlemen. And tomorrow's the day we have all the Victoria's Secret models coming in, right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought so. And the free ice cream cake, if I remember correctly, yeah.
Me like it.
Muggs is going to be doing something great, though. He is going to be live at the Hollywood Park Casino from 5:30 a.m., helping with the Rambo Last Blood blood drive. We call it Rambo Give Blood. Rambo Last Blood is the film that comes in theaters this Friday morning, and they are sponsoring the blood drive, and you can just go on down, and Muggs, you're going to be giving away a ton of stuff just for people showing up to give blood, right?
That's right. Listen to this. We have tickets to K-Rock Takes Over Not Scary Farm, tickets to the LA Comic-Con, and all these upcoming concerts that K-Rock's putting on. We're going to have a bunch of prizes, so come on down.
And SoundSpace tickets, too, by the way, which you can't buy. So that's a very
too much. Maybe
exclusive.
We hold a couple back.
Hold some back? That's a good idea. We're not good
so
at that.
It's K-Rock's Rambo Give Blood Drive. It's going to be tomorrow. It's an annual tradition, and we are so proud of the Kevin and Bean listeners who take time out of their busy lives to stop by and spend a few minutes giving blood to help somebody who needs it. because there's almost always a blood shortage in Southern California. So it's really, really important. All right, Allie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bean. Thanks for asking.
Anything in the world going on we should know about?
I mean, this is huge. When I saw this yesterday, I was like, well, this makes perfect sense. We love this guy so very much on the show. And I feel like this is just going to catapult him to a level where he might not come back anymore.
It's true. Hmm.
We're talking Bert Kreischer, you guys. He had some viral success. December 2016, he uploaded video of him telling a story where we found out how he became known as the Machine.
One of the craziest stories ever.
It's insane. It has to do with Russians, the
monsters,
mob,
yeah.
Him being in his seventh year at FSU. And ultimately, how those Russian mob connections would catch up with him on a class field trip where he was forced to become an accomplice in a train robbery. Why am I bringing up this video and its viral success of more than 85 million views? Oh, it's been optioned by Legendary to become a movie, you guys.
That's fantastic. USA! USA!
I'd say the Bert Kreischer life story, but it's just, it's one aspect, probably a tenth of what Bert deals with daily.
Yeah,
just
but
becoming
this is
the machine.
Maybe the craziest story I've ever heard.
It's bonkers.
And this is from a guy who already has one movie based on his life, which mm-hmm. is Van Wilder.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So this is now his second.
How did I not know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. Dan Wilder's loosely based on Bert Kreischer.
Oh, this is all so very good, you guys.
Well, no one deserves it more than Bert.
No, absolutely not. I wonder if he gets to pick who stars as him. Or does he star as him?
I mean, who should? It should be him.
Ryan Reynolds, again.
I mean, that doesn't stink.
They look alike.
I figure it's his seventh year at Florida State University, so it should probably be someone in their 20s, right?
Okay, Harrison Ford.
Late 20s, though.
Late 20s, yeah. Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison
okay,
Ford's
yeah.
good.
Just mumbling Russian. All right.
I'm not good with ages and casting.
Yeah, I understand.
You guys remember the part where he didn't learn any Russian?
None.
Mm-hmm. Took four semesters. The teacher was just like, I just need you as a student. I'll give yeah. you a C if you don't learn a thing.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
He caught up with the Russian mob.
Can you imagine meeting Bert Kreischer in Russia and you're like, what's... This guy speaks no Russian.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he even here with us? And then you find out he robbed you in the middle of the night. What the heck is happening? I love it so very much. Well, guys, moving on. We haven't heard about Kevin Hart in a couple days, but he is back in the news because his sex tape partner, remember that 2017 encounter with Kevin Hart in Las Vegas in a hotel room? Well, that sex tape partner claims that he conspired with a friend to secretly record their encounter, and she's now suing him for $60 million.
Wow.
Yeah. Remember, the tape came out, and then he had to obviously apologize to his wife for infidelity. Nobody should profit off of this mistake. Please don't sell it. And then later down the line, he found out one of his good friends was the one extorting him with this tape. Well, she's saying he was in on the whole thing. The suit claims that Hart allowed his friend JT Jackson into the Cosmopolitan Hotel suite so he could set up hidden video recording devices to capture their liaison. Jackson was later charged with two counts of extortion related to the alleged efforts to get money out of Hart to keep the tape under wraps, but he denied ever extorting him, and Hart is denying all of this. I had no connection to any of this, so...
Oh.
I'd say, that's not something you want brought back up.
Mm-mm.
Maybe you and your wife finally moving past that.
Especially, like, with people working on your spine every day.
Yeah.
Probably
that,
not,
that can't
not the right time.
Not be stressful. Yeah. That is not a good situation. You like the Golden Girls?
No.
Okay. Then, boy, does this story not interest you. That Jane Lynch is doing kind of a Golden Girls kind of show. With Cyndi Lauper. What is happening here?
What?
Yeah, Jane Lynch says that she sold a show to Netflix featuring her and Cyndi Lauper. She said, we're our age, almost 60 and 65, and we're looking at our next act without having had husbands or children. She said there's two other people in it who haven't been cast yet. It's kind of a Golden Girls for today. Huh? Kevin, did that turn you around? Jane Lynch and Cyndi Lauper.
I do love Jane Lynch.
Okay.
And I do love Cyndi Lauper.
I don't really have an opinion
so together,
on one or the other.
We like it. Together.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're in, you guys. Mm-hmm. We are in. Hey, coming up, I've got some news for Kevin. Is
Doesn't
it friends?
Sound like it's exciting.
Is it friends?
Of course it is.
I don't know. Yeah. Is it spiders? I don't know. Is it the two together? What?
I don't like anything you're saying
right
now.
The two things you hate the most?
Wow.
We're going to talk about that.
You're a terrible human being.
Thank you so much, you guys. Remember Cassandra Peterson?
Sure.
Yes.
Former K-Rock DJ. K-Rock.
Yeah.
A lot of people might know her as one of the most iconic characters during Halloween, Elvira. It is her birthday today, as well as Phil Jackson, Bobby Lee, and Baz Luhrmann.
Congratulations to Rana Serna from Tustin. Just got two tickets to see the Black Keys at the Wiltern this Thursday. More tickets to come in the next hour here on K-Rock.
Luck out. They're so good live, by the way.
They are. Agreed.
That was one of my favorite breakfast with we ever did was with Black Keys.
And the whole time you keep thinking, how are two people making all that noise?
That's right. Exactly. All right. As Ferris Bueller said, life comes at you fast. And yesterday we were trying to get to the story about Shane Gillis, the comedian who is one of the three new hires for the upcoming season of Saturday Night Live. And we were very busy yesterday. We didn't get to it. And part of the discussion we were going to have is how long until they fire this dude? And since yesterday and today, he's been fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a thing where people now start to go back and look at 5, 10, 15 years ago, what you were doing, what you were saying, but this is not one of those things.
No, there's the one originally is from about 9 months ago, and then there's stuff from just recently this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, who wants to bring the kids up to the up to speed on what the Shane Gillis controversy is?
Well, basically, this guy Shane Gillis is a comedian out of the Midwest, and he is a stand-up, a working stand-up, been doing it a lot, but also has a podcast and appears on other people's podcasts, and during those appearances said extremely controversial and racist stuff that he sort of disguises as jokes, or some people might think are jokes. I don't know those people necessarily, but he definitely kind of works out with not so funny stuff.
Yeah.
And that came back to haunt him when he got hired to SNL. And those things, as well as a reputation back at home where he does comedy, kind of really ruined Lorne Michaels' plans of getting him on the show.
And Lorne Michaels said we didn't do due diligence on vetting this guy. But beyond looking at somebody's social media and maybe watching clips of stand-up, there's no way you can find every remark a comedian has ever made on a podcast.
But people did make it seem like if they asked anyone from Chicago or wherever he was doing comedy, you would have got these answers. There were comedy clubs that wouldn't work with him anymore because his stuff was too off color.
Yeah. Good God Comedy in Philadelphia said he is not allowed here anymore because his stuff is racist, homophobic, and misogynist. And that's kind of not really on stage. Is what they were saying. It permeates who he is, maybe a little bit.
And his excuse is just, "Hey, I'm just pushing boundaries, right? I'm just doing comedy. Come on, relax,
that is
everybody."
His excuse, yes. Yeah. But I'm going to play the first clip about Chinatown, and I'm going to challenge you to try and find something funny.
Damn, Chinatown's nuts.
It's crazy, dude.
It is full China, dude. It's fucking Chinese down there.
I wonder how that started. They just built one up looking building, and people were like, "All right, no one said anything.
Live there, huh?"
That's just
let the
one of
and
the
then
things.
C word, which is the slur, live there. Which here's the thing: I am all about admitting you made a mistake, a little bit of contrition, a little bit of listen. That wasn't my best, but to claim that wasn't just a conversation you were having with a friend, showing who
comedy.
You are, that wasn't comedy. Yeah. You're lying. Anyone that says, "Oh, he's just working things out," that's a bit. That is two dudes talking about a race of people that, quite frankly, if you keep listening, he's not fond of.
No.
No.
No, he's not. Here's some more.
We got in there and we sat down and baby girl was like, "I'm so excited for Neuters." And I was like, "Yo, chill, chill, chill." She was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry."
She said Neuters?
Yeah. And there's a and it's full Chinese in there.
I mean, I can't tell any joke structure.
Well, the joke being that they don't say noodles correctly in their accent, and so they're making fun of that. But it's a joke that gets kind of vetoed because it's just you being racist about someone's accent. Like, there's no true joke there.
But guys, he's a comedian who pushes boundaries.
That's the thing, is a lot of the defense online has been like, because I was reading a couple of them, and they all looked like the same 40-year-old white guy defending him. But then I found Marlon Wayans on Twitter, who was defending it. And so I was interested to see what Marlon would say. And his thing is like, well, comedians work out their stuff. And, you know, sometimes you push a boundary and you go, that's too far, which I do kind
that's
of...
That's 100% true.
I do believe that.
Yeah,
but, I do too.
But the problem is that nowadays technology changes. In addition to that, our standards have changed.
Yeah.
So when you go out there and you're recording a podcast that will forever or somewhat forever live on the internet.
By the way, that's another thing, is that it wasn't him working out his
stage.
Comedy.
No,
this is a podcast.
Having a conversation with a friend.
It's just a different... It's hard to give you the difference between saying it on stage and saying it in a podcast with your pal.
Right.
But there is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what else doesn't help is his non-apology apology.
Correct.
100%.
Where he's like, I'm happy to apologize to anyone who's actually offended by anything I've said with no comment whatsoever about, man, I promise I'm not racist, but I understand that I sounded super racist there, mm-hmm. and I'll never, ever, ever do that again. I mean, there was none of that. There was no, as Ali said, contrition at all in his quote apology.
He just said, my intention is never to hurt anyone, but I'm trying to be the best comedian I can, and sometimes that requires risks.
And, okay, and here's the thing. Can we discuss your risks and pushing boundaries? These are jokes. And I use jokes loosely. These are things you said in elementary school that you didn't know at the
time. They're not that good.
Turned out to be racist AF. Like,
right.
You would make fun of somebody's accent, or you would say the word C word. And then you found out later in life, dude, that's effed up. You don't say those things. This guy is acting like these are pushing boundaries and risks. If these are risks, what you are is a bad comedian, and you are unable to adapt to changing times. And guess what? It's a lot easier for dudes like this to say, oh, I'm being silenced and PC culture and blah, blah, blah. No, it's just easier to blame that than actually to adapt and grow as a comic.
Or admit you're not funny.
No one's saying he can't say those things. It's just it also comes with consequences.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I liked when cancel culture was just called consequences. I mean, it just seems like a similar thing. And Desus and Mero, who we loved, and we had them on, they had a clip go kind of viral this week when they went on, on Hot Ones, on Shot Evans' Hot Ones. And he asked him, why aren't they in the crosshairs of PC culture? Like, it's weird, because Desus and Mero have been pushing boundaries forever. Why have they never found themselves in these kind of controversies? And Desus said, as we've experienced the world and we've come across different people, we realize that the humor hits differently, that a certain joke that might have been funny 4 years ago, like you actually meet a person from that specific group and you're like, oh, S, I even know that's offensive now. They've understood that you grow with the culture.
Wait, you adapt with the times?
Isn't that nuts?
And you can maybe change up your set?
Yeah, he said, we self-censor. There are certain things you know that you could have gotten away with in 2009 that you should not even form as a sentence in your head nowadays. Don't even put it in your drafts.
By the way, this is there's been a learning curve for us over the years on this program.
Yes.
We're horribly embarrassed and offended by things that we said on this show in years past. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're adapting with the times and trying to learn as we go. Let me read, because I know we're almost out of time here. Let me read Shane Gillis's statement, because this really gives you an idea of who this man is.
Yeah.
His reaction to being fired. And this, to me, is the equivalent of the woman who breaks up with a man because he's crazy and dangerous. And to prove her wrong, he shows up at her work with a gun. You know what I mean? like just completely saying...
Their point.
Yes, her instincts were correct. So this is why it's good that Shane Gillis will not be on Saturday Night Live. Here's his statement after Lorne Michaels' statement about him being fired. It feels ridiculous for comedians to be making serious public statements, but here we are. I'm a comedian who was funny enough to get SNL. That can't be taken away. By the way,
it was.
Of course, I wanted an opportunity to prove myself at SNL, but I understand it would be too much of a distraction. I respect the decision they made. I'm honestly grateful for the opportunity. By the way, still no apology.
No.
And here's the part. Here's the dagger. You ready? I was always a mad TV guy anyway.
Which, by the way, is a lie. No one was. Really quick, just so we get this out of the way, too. The difference, all you need to do to see the difference between why we appreciate good humor that kind of teeters on this and bad humor is just watch the new Bill Burr special.
Yes. Yeah, agreed.
Bill is hilarious. He's funny. I don't agree with all his opinions, but he has a talent, and he has a focus, and he's just good at his job.
Yeah, even if you disagree, you're laughing while you're disagreeing with him.
Or watch the new Dave Chappelle, when you're cringing because he's talking about Michael Jackson, and then the punchline at the end, you're like, oh, I see what you did.
Yeah,
that's good because it's funny.
And by the way, I don't agree with Dave Chappelle's opinions on transgender at all. I'm actually the exact opposite. But he gives his opinion, and I go, oh, that's his job. He's allowed to do those things because he's doing it thoughtfully. It's different than this.
Yes.
Can I just bring up Jen Kirkman's tweet yesterday?
Yes, please.
Who we love on the show.
Love her.
She wrote, can we stop canceling male comics? I can't take another one of them doing a comedy special about it.
Some have said that we are lucky to be living in the golden age of television. But I heard a guy say, it's just too much TV. It's just too much.
It really
too
is, though.
I'll tell you, I sat down last night and had no idea what I was going to watch. And ended up watching a new Crispin Glover movie on Netflix.
Wow.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Like that
didn't
I
know that existed. Okay.
No, had no idea it existed. Didn't, had never heard anything about it. But that's where we're at right now, where there is so much content that is, if you taped your eyeballs open and did nothing but watch TV 24/7, you still couldn't get caught up just with the stuff that's pretty good.
Yeah. Back in the day, if a Crispin Glover movie would have come out, you and I would have been lined up. We didn't even know it existed.
Didn't even know it existed. Right.
Exactly.
And it was pretty good, and I was happy to have it. It was a great option for the night. But now that we are into, and you're starting to see a bunch of the commercials have been for the summertime of the new shows that are debuting for the fall.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to know which ones are even worth checking out because there's we're on overload.
Even harder, which ones are real and which ones are fake.
Do you think it's fake? Talking about TV. Do you think it's real? Talking about TV. Do you think it's fake or real? One thing's for sure, there's too much TV.
That's right.
Fake TV or real TV? Oh, what can it be?
I don't know.
One thing is for sure, there is too much TV.
Good point, Omar.
I mean, we've all had the friends that come to us and go, have you seen this show? And you go, that's a show?
Yeah, it sounds like you're just making things up, and that's what I've done. Some of these shows I will explain to you are real, new within this year. Some of them are just things I made up sitting on my couch last night.
Okay. Which, by the way, somebody listening may buy and put on the schedule as a fall replacement series.
They're all available. The first one to give you, this show is called All Rise, and it takes place at an L.A. County courthouse following dramatic lives of judges, lawyers, and bailiffs, all amidst a flawed and broken justice system. Is that real or fake? It's called All Rise.
I happen to know this one is real
as well
because I have seen the ad.
That's very good.
Same.
Allie, what about you?
I know that Bean has seen the ad, so I feel like it's real.
I've seen the ad during SEAL Team, another show a lot of people
have. Which I don't think is real.
That's not real.
That's not real. SEAL Team is a fake show. Okay, that is a real show. I think I started with the one that you'll find on billboards. That's how I feel. So.
Fake TV or real TV.
Okay. Patricia Heaton plays a former teacher who, despite juggling the home life of two needy children, decides to embark on a unique second act in life. She dreams to become a doctor and starts as the oldest intern at Loyola Marymount Hospital. It's called Carol's Second Act. Is that real or fake?
Way fake.
Boy, I know that.
Not even a little fake.
Any network would be grateful to have Patricia Heaton on its schedule. She is a home run. I'm going to say that. Wait, she was a. Say again, she was a doctor, now she wants to be a lawyer? Is that what you're saying?
She was a former teacher who's juggling the home life of two needy kids, but then decides to have a second act in life to become a doctor and starts as the oldest intern at Loyola Marymount. It's called Carol's Second Act.
I hate the title, but I'm going to take a chance and say that is real.
Allie?
I don't know about LMU's doctoral program,
sure.
If there even is one, so I'm going to say fake TV.
Get ready to watch it on CBS this fall. That's a real show, Carol's Second Act.
Fake TV or real TV?
Do you have any fake ones?
We'll We'll see.
All right.
No!
Moving on. Chicago Jail stars Game of Thrones alum Stephen Delane as Warden Bricks, a veteran of the prison system who just moved from the cozy, crimeless confines of Connecticut into the gritty war zone of Chicago. Can he survive the culture shock or feel as imprisoned as the criminals around him? It's called Chicago Jail, real or fake?
Mm, he's a fish out of water. Look at him, Connecticut boy in Chicago.
That's the theme.
I feel like any show that has Chicago in it mm-hmm. is a home run. So I'm going real.
Okay. Kevin?
Fake. There's too many Chicago shows already.
All right, Bean?
You say that, but look how many NCISs there are. Look how many Law and Orders there are.
Well, let's see who's right.
There are not too many Chicago shows. They all are hits, but this one, I'm going to say, is fake.
This one is fake.
Yes!
Allie got it wrong.
Yes!
There is no Chicago show.
TV or real TV.
There will be, however.
But there should be.
I know. I feel like
it's a great idea.
I feel like I could sell it. All right, here we go. Moving on. Almost Family. Brittany Snow is an only child whose life is turned upside down when her father reveals that during his time as a pioneering fertility doctor, he inseminated patients and conceived hundreds of children, including two new sisters she just met. Can she handle the new tidal wave of family and accept new siblings, or is this too much for one kid?
I'm going to go first and say fake, 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 fakey, fake.
I'm going to say real AF because I already programmed it for my DVR. Well,
that I'm going with Allie.
That one is real. Fox Wednesday night.
Fake TV or real TV.
It looks great.
Oh, come on.
I love Brittany Snow.
All right, here we go.
Hold on. So the show is about her meeting her sperm donor brothers and sisters?
Yes. Yeah, her dad is the one that was basically...
He was like a pioneering fertility guy.
Inseminating the world.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And some of them move in with her. Roommates and sisters.
Big shock.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Allie, that's going to be awful. You're going to regret watching the first one.
Even the first one. All right. You're not even going to make it through the first episode.
This show is called Your Real Father, and I need to explain that it's spelled R-E-E-L. Okay. This award-winning British import finally finds its way to the States, introducing you to character young Jeffrey Wallsmith to a whole new audience. When Jeffrey's father dies in a tragic train accident, he finds hundreds of film reels in a storage unit and now must piece together clues from the footage to find millions of dollars that he hid his inheritance. Will the journey pay off, or will the endless collection of raw uncut video lead him in the wrong direction forever? It's called Your Real Father, and it's spelled R-E-E-L.
I'm going to spell it F-A-K-E.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with F-A-K-E guy.
Is it weird that I wish it was real?
Well, you might be right.
I'm going to say real.
It's fake, but boy, I'll sell it to you if you want it. It's a good one.
Fake TV or real TV.
All right, we're moving on. You ready?
Yep. Friday. I think we're going to have time for maybe one more.
One more. Here we go. Gilmore Girls breakout Alexis Bledel is back on TV as Susie. She's a sous chef at New York's busiest and most posh Italian hotspot. Her confidence quickly wanes as the owner and head chef, Anthony, thinks she doesn't belong. But when in a bind, she has to make her own recipe for tiramisu, the dish becomes the restaurant's signature dish, and Anthony must learn to live with the inexperienced, fresh-faced newcomer. It's called Susie Chef. Is this real or fake?
Jesus.
I'm going to go first, and I'm going to say F-A-K-E.
Okay.
How many A's did you put in there?
Just one, but I sound like a couple.
I contemplated a second.
Okay.
Alexis Bledel, also excellent on Handmaid's Tale, by the way. I'm going to say no way, Jose.
Okay.
I'm going to say I've seen that at least five times in a Hallmark movie.
Okay.
So it's very possible.
That's not the question.
But I don't think Alexis Bledel would put herself in a position to be on a show called Susie Chef.
I'll sell it to you, but it's fake.
It's fake.
I'll put it on television tomorrow. If you like.
Fake TV or real TV? Oh, what can it be?
I don't know.
One thing is for sure, there is too much.
Remember about 24 hours ago, the Corn Pop times. Those were great times, weren't they?
Oh, Joe Biden.
The Corn Pop times. How did the guy in the story that the former vice president was telling in Delaware the other day, how do you think he got the nickname Corn Pop?
I mean, it's not a great nickname if you're a gang member, which Joe Biden was saying he was.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Corn Pop, I can't imagine.
I'm just trying to figure out. I mean, usually there's a story behind today. Well, how did he become Corn Pop?
Number one, he just liked Corn Pops. He liked the cereal Corn Pops. That would seem like
That's
the most direct
possible.
Way.
Sure.
Another way would be that you taste good with milk.
Ooh. Mm. Okay, that's very different. That's not as good.
Odd.
Okay. We want to talk about nicknames. Yes.
You know how some like corn pops are misshaped? Maybe he was bald and his head was all like misshaped and had like ridges. Corn pop.
I mean, that's possible.
Is that worth it?
It's more likely than him tasting good with milk.
We thought it might be fun to talk about nicknames because many of us had nicknames, especially growing up. And kids, by the way, don't always give you the nickname that you would wish.
Mm-hmm.
I was just known as Stud. You know, that was just what they called me. It's just Stud.
Nobody called you that.
1-800-520-1067. If you had a nickname, we want to hear what it was, particularly if there's an interesting story behind it. How about you, Kevin? Do you have a nickname growing
up? I was thinking
up?
About this yesterday, and I didn't think I had any, but I did remember that I had friends that used to call me Bones.
Because you were
just because I was skinny and nothing but bones. I was. It wasn't very creative, but that's what I had.
Did you like it or not like it?
I didn't really like it. Okay. Sounded like I was going to say more there.
It did.
I was out.
You just didn't like
it. I didn't really like it.
How about you, Jensen?
In high school, I didn't have a great nickname from friends. It was Mother because I was close with my parents.
Oh, no.
Not even Mom. They would say Mother.
Well, that was it. It was like the Norman Bates Mother.
Oh,
it was
that's
like the
awesome.
Norman Bates way of saying it.
Like you didn't get beat up enough just for being a dork. Now your nickname is Mother?
Yes. It was. It didn't stick hardcore.
That's awesome.
But it is in my senior yearbook. I think my friends, when we took out an ad in the back where you like put up your friends' pictures, I do think it says Jensen Mother Carp.
Oh my
which
God.
Is, which is rough to see, you know, 25 years later. 20 years later.
Mike Pence has to love you.
Yes, I was the original Mike Pence.
Yeah. 1-800-520-1067. What was your nickname and why? All right, Allie, you're up.
I was Firecracker. And
Firecracker.
That was given to me by my high school tennis coach because I was explosive. I was just, I'm not the tallest person, not diarrhea, Kevin,
okay,
and
okay.
We could hear you whispering it. That's a microphone in front of you.
I just thought if I said it quietly.
I'm not tall. I like to say I'm 5'3 until people call me on it.
Mm-hmm. And then you're 4'9?
I am 5'2.
That's what I meant.
Ish. And I was explosive for a little person playing tennis. My two-hand backhand, firecracker.
Wow, that's a very positive nickname, says Mother.
You're a little bit jealous about Firecracker, aren't
you? Yeah, I wish someone would have looked at my strengths. Called me like funny or something. I don't know.
It's complimentary. Did you like Firecracker?
I did. Another girl on the team, Maureen Sifferman, big ups if you're listening. She was called the Blonde Bombshell, and I was like, well, that's so much better.
These things,
he might have been a perv, now that I think about it.
Come here, Firecracker. Come here, Blonde Bombshell. Come here, my future wife. It's not a nickname.
Why do you always make us ride with him instead of the bus?
Yeah.
You guys sound like wrestlers on Glow is what you sound like, right?
Oh, nice.
Firecracker and the Blonde Bombshell. All right, anyone else on our show have a nickname they want to confess?
Well, clearly Beer Mug has one.
Sure. Oh, yeah, Mugs, of course. Who even knows Mugs' real name anymore, by the way? He's just
Phil?
He's Beer Mug. I think it might be Phil. He's Beer Mug for life. All right, let's talk to Josh real quick. Line 1, 1-800-520-1067. Josh from Downey, welcome to Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, party people. My last name is Rojas. Everybody called me Red. And then my sister started calling me Sasquatch because I'm a pretty hairy dude, but I'm really light-skinned, and I'm, you know, about 5'8", 5'9". I'm not that tall, but compared to, like, everybody else, you know, my family, I'm like one of the tallest ones.
So you think they called you Sasquatch because you were taller than most people and not because you were really hairy?
And
because
he's 5'9" and very, very tall?
Yeah, but, you know, again, you know, Latin American people are not that tall to begin with, so.
Right.
All right.
Sasquatch.
Red Sasquatch.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to John, line 3, 1-800-520-1067. He's in Laguna Hills, and Jensen, I think you're about to feel pretty good being called Mother.
Okay.
Hey, good. John.
All right, so my name's Josh, by the way.
Okay, sorry.
In high school, my high school football coach couldn't pronounce my last name, Lubetkin, so he called me Luby.
Yes! Oh, Josh!
Yes! I'm still called Luby by my best friend and everybody in high school still.
Your best friend and everyone in high school is doing the right thing.
Luby!
I'm not arguing.
All right. Thank you, Luby. Appreciate the call. How about Eileen Bellflower, line two, up next on K-Rock.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Growing up, I have twin brothers that are only a year younger than me, so they followed me through school. Mm-hmm. And they're so mean. So my name is Eileen, and they started calling me Eileeny the Weenie.
Oh.
Come on, so, Eileen.
I know.
File.
But at first I hated it, but Weenie stuck. And it follows me now. So
wait, that's the part that you don't hate anymore?
She hated the Eileen-y,
right?
But yeah. Loves the Weenie.
Weenie. Yeah, listen, I love the name Weenie.
Yeah, it grew on me. Okay. So now
a Weenie grew on you. That's
how about
great.
That? That's a beautiful thing.
Chris texts in from the 562 on our nickname topic. In sixth grade, my first day of PE, I was wearing white boxers and was taking off my shorts when everyone in the locker room started screaming and laughing. It turns out I had skid marks, and that was my nickname for all of middle school and most of high school.
Oh, man.
I've always thought it was kind of funny. Says
what?
Skids.
Oh, wow, Skids turning it to a positive.
Yeah. One more, 562 Danielle. I had the nickname Double D from middle to high school because those were my initials and my bra size. I couldn't get people to stop saying it by high school. I just kind of accepted it.
Humble brag.
Yeah, it's better, right? It's better than being A.
I'm right here.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we have a secret break that we think you're going to enjoy. Stop acting like it's all about you, man.
We'll find out.
You will find out. That's true. That's accurate.
Good- All right, Allie, take as long as you want with this what's happening so that we can avoid the secret break.
Oh, no, secret break's coming up.
Yeah, secret break definitely coming up. You guys, a Blink-182's Mark Hoppus has released a cover of the Cars classic tune, Just What I Needed. It's in honor of singer Rick Ocasek, of course, who died on Sunday. But he did this cover a couple years ago. He was asked to record what he says is a creepy cover of Just What I Needed for a TV show. This is the post that he put along with the cover that's on SoundCloud. He said they wanted moody and strange, dark and droney, with space for dialogue to go over it. So we went in the studio. This is what he came up with. Show was canceled. That episode never aired. People have never heard this song. But I like that he said, but if you can imagine a grim and grizzled detective determinedly working a murder case that shook him to the very core of his being, this is the music that the show requested. So he posted it on his SoundCloud. And here's a little bit of Mark Hoppus with the Cars classic tune, Just What I Needed. I don't mind you hanging out.
You're just what I needed. I needed someone to plead.
Whoa, that is moody, dark, and right? Droney. That makes the song seem so much darker than it is.
Yes, it does.
Is the floor moving or the roof going higher?
Is that your haunted mansion?
Haunted mansion. It sounds very much in that realm.
It is creepy.
Wow.
By the way, I got an email from a listener yesterday who was referencing his wife is a super huge Cars fan. In fact, her license plate was the Cars on her automobile. That's how much of a Cars fan she was. And he just told this whole story about when we had Rick Ocasek on the show and how exciting it was for them. And Kevin, I see from your face.
I loved it, too.
Also have no memory.
So much more interesting than I expected at that time.
I'm so sad about all the stuff that we did on this show that none of us have any memory of and there's no record of. But apparently Rick Ocasek was on the Kevin and Bean show.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're saying. Okay.
Neither of you remember at all having the lead singer of the freaking Cars in
here. A rock and roll Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I'm sure that would have been, certainly, speaking for me, a huge deal to be able to talk to Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, for me too.
But I just, it was
look,
like,
we've done a lot of stuff.
It was 96, he said. It was 1996 we had him on. So I'm super bummed.
I'm sure it was really good.
I'm sure it was.
We're talking about two dudes. We found a picture of them with Old Dirty Bastard, and they were like, cool. I don't remember that at all. I was like, the guy who was basically causing a stir around the whole city then died of a drug overdose.
I mean,
like, you don't remember any of that?
Wow.
Kevin posted that Marilyn Manson photo of us the other day. I didn't remember that at all. I mean, I know we've had him on the show a bunch of times. I had no memory of that visit or that photo, that's for sure.
Hmm. That shocked me as well. I mean, I remembered having him, but it shocked me to see that picture. Yeah, we don't remember about, I'd say, a good solid 70% of what we did.
And it's selective amnesia,
because that way we can go, oh, I don't remember that. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. So when people come at us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're good.
Okay. All right. Well,
we both remember it clearly, but we just are saying that's our cover story.
I mean, good memory for that guy and his wife. Sadly, neither of you cared to remember that and put that in your little bank of things that mattered.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Rest in peace, Rick Ocasek, right? That's what we're getting to?
Absolutely.
That's the point, yes.
Absolutely. By the way, you can find that on his Markopoulos SoundCloud. And he ended the post with saying, I thought I'd put it up here. Enjoy it and go listen to the Cars. And I say, indeed.
I got to tell you, I didn't know the story behind it. I just saw Mark Hoppus's tweet where he said, this is a thing. Mm-hmm. And then it was a SoundCloud. So I listened to it. I was like, wow, really pretty dark considering. Like, I didn't know that.
You didn't know
him
all
that.
So he nailed it. Yeah. He absolutely nailed what the producers wanted for sure. Guys, Kanye West has finally confirmed the release date, the title, and track list for his 9th studio album, Jesus is King.
Hallelujah.
The project was previously known as Yandi. It's going to drop September 27th and feature 12 songs. This according to a photo posted on Kanye West's website.
Because baby, I'm awesome. Also, I'm also awesome. Y'all know.
Y'all do know.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to be any good or more poopity scoop?
I mean, if you like gospel... Mm-hmm. I think you'll like the album.
Yeah.
That's my feeling. Based on the track listing and clearly the name, this is going to be more of his Sunday service type of stuff.
Okay.
Is he still going to be yelling?
By the way, in all fairness, Kanye West gets it.
Oh,
okay. Wow.
All right.
He got to listen to it early, apparently.
Is he going to be yelling at us? Do we know that yet?
We'll
he's
find out.
He's done a lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling.
How can you say he's done a lot of yelling?
I'm a superhero. Yeah!
Yeah, where'd you get that from?
So, Jesus is King, dropping September 27th. Then again, he has in the past said something's coming out on a specific date, and it doesn't. And then you wait, and then it finally does. So, maybe September 27th, maybe
when
not.
When you're the absolute best, you get hated on the most.
Hmm.
Okay. All right.
It's a week from Friday, right? So, I assume that we'll know.
We'll know soon.
We will know soon. What we do know now, Dan Aykroyd told Mr. Joe Rogan on the Joe Rogan Experience that he will be returning to Ghostbusters 3, which, of course, is coming out next summer.
Can you call
Ghostbusters?
Bean has that ready for any moment.
Wow. That's on a hot key. It'll be all or most of the original people, and it's going to be great. That's from the mouth of Dan Aykroyd. Of course, it is being directed by Jason Reitman, who's the son of Ivan Reitman, who did the original film and the 1989 sequel, Ghostbusters 2, which, is that the movie you think is better than the original?
I think it's as good as.
That's ridiculous.
As good as. But, and that is a true statement.
That is a ridiculous statement.
True statement.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, and that's true.
And Ghostbusters 2 is 100% false.
Ghostbusters 2 is as good as Ghostbusters 1.
Okay.
Viggo the Carpathian, Bobby Brown theme song, all of
that. Oh, you're getting a thumbs up from Muggs.
Yeah.
Do you stick with it?
Yeah, true statement.
Muggs is on your side. Woohoo!
All right, listen.
I'm good.
And Jensen, you feel the same way about Blues Brothers 2000?
No. I will take my stand and say that Blues Brothers 2000 not worth saving. No.
Ghostbusters 2 not even good compared to the original.
Great.
Compared to the original. Not even good.
It's a great movie.
Have you guys heard the theme from the new Ghostbusters yet?
No.
The upcoming movie? I have a clip.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
It's really good.
I wasn't positive about it, but now, I mean, I might go opening night.
Might line up now.
That is real good. that's amazing. All right, some birthdays for you. Baz Luhrmann, Bobby Lee. Baz or Boz? Do any of us really know Baz Luhrmann?
We had Baz Luhrmann in, and both of us remember it.
I think it's Baz.
I think it's Baz.
We think it's Baz. So it's probably Boz.
Bobby Lee, Phil Jackson, and you might know her as one of the most iconic Halloween characters of all time, Elvira. Miss Cassandra Peterson.
Congratulations, Anwar Urieta from Westminster. Just got two tickets to see the Black Keys at the Wiltern this Thursday night. Your chance to win is coming up.
Fun. By the way, there is a bonus chance to win if you don't get them through the phone and the radio. You can just go to krock.com for a chance to win, too. So we told you that story yesterday about the... Oh, I guess we didn't tell you that story yesterday about what the woman did in her sleep that was so horrifying.
We didn't.
I don't think we did, no.
I was off air. Yeah, we will tell you about that, and we're going to be looking for your stories of crazy things you've done while you were asleep. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on the world-famous K-Rock.
A couple of weeks ago, Bean showed up for work, and he said, guys, I just want you to know something. I'm really hurting today. I'm playing hurt. Mm-hmm. I think I fractured my hand. And we said, you going to the doctor? Not really. No. So then, when was the other side of his hand?
Yesterday?
Yeah, I told you about it yesterday. It happened Saturday afternoon.
What happened Saturday afternoon?
I tripped over my dog
and
hit the marble floor with the same hand that was already fractured and fractured it again. In a different spot. So now it's fractured in two different places on the same hand.
So that's followed up by yesterday in our meeting when we're having a conversation and don't even ask why, which of us is a better tennis player. I'm not positive how to even get into that.
We've been sticking into this for a while as to who's the best at tennis.
And Bean said, and I quote, I would destroy you guys if it wasn't for my blank.
My frozen shoulder.
None of us knew about.
Now, I would expect him to have said hand issues.
Right, same.
Yeah, easily, yeah.
No, because my hand is my left hand, and I play tennis with my right, and I'm an outstanding tennis player. I am Bean Wimbledon Baxter, for those who don't know.
The injury again is?
Frozen shoulder.
And that happened when?
About 3 weeks ago now, I guess.
And I just want to clarify, you're not accident prone.
I am not at all.
Okay.
No, the frozen shoulder is just a thing that comes on. You don't necessarily have to do anything to cause it to happen. It just happens on its own.
And how long has this been happening for you?
Well, this is my second time around. I had it one time before for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then it just went away. And it's exactly what it sounds like. The nickname for it is the frozen shoulder. It has a technical name too. But you can barely lift your arm over your shoulder.
That sounds debilitating, Dean.
It's very painful.
So have you went to the doctor for that?
I've not been to a physician.
Are you going
just let it run its course for 2 years?
Did you make plans for the doctor after you fractured your same hand on a second place?
I thought about going because it hurt like a mofo, but I decided not to because I didn't. Look. There's not that much they can do about a fractured hand is how I look at it. You know what I mean?
As a doctor.
I am a doctor, yes. Mm-hmm. There's just not that much. And it's not like a compound fracture where your leg is separated and it has to be fused together and you have to have a cast and all that. There's not that much room in your hand. It's gonna heal itself.
Just for the record, I broke my hand and I needed a doctor, just so it's out there.
Oh, but that's you, though.
All right. Listen.
I'm the healthiest man.
Also, do you think frozen shoulder doesn't need a doctor as well?
I don't think it needs a doctor. I think it's just going to go away on its own.
All right. As much as Dr. Bean has information, we thought we'd bring in Dr. Mo.
Oh,
who actually does.
Well, I don't want you to source me with a professional.
Dr. Mo.
Dr. Mo. I'm very confident with my beliefs. I don't need you coming in here screwing it up, telling me I'm weak.
Good morning, Bean, and everybody. Am I allowed to say you guys, or is that
absolutely
a thing?
You're allowed. Sure. You're allowed.
Okay. Yes. In this room, it's a safe space.
How do you feel about what you just heard?
Well, clearly, because Bean doesn't go to the doctor, you got to bring the doctor to Bean,
yes.
I guess. And having had some experience back at that old, like, backstage falling off the stage thing.
Mm-hmm. Where he didn't go to the doctor.
Clearly. all right. So, Bean. Bean, 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 bean. tell me, okay, there's a lot of stuff to unpack here. One, so frozen shoulder, let's start with that.
Okay.
So you know for a fact, the technical word for that is adhesive capsulitis.
Okay.
So if in fact you've had it twice,
mm-hmm.
that going to a doctor can take that 2-year span down to about, I don't know, 8 weeks. So,
wow. Wow, that seems pretty helpful.
Wow. What do they do, okay, Doc?
You just saved him 16 months and he won't go.
Well, first of all, you know what the first thing they could do? I don't know, diagnose you correctly and maybe treat. If this is really what it is, there's a couple of really simple things with a certain type of physical therapy. They do this really cool thing where under an x-ray, sometimes they can numb up the skin and inject a little fluid in it and separate it and break up the scarring so it doesn't hurt so much. There's some stuff they can actually do for you.
That
so,
would be great. Mm-hmm. Kind of, 2 years, Bean's ready to. He's just ready. He was like, hey, went away with 2 years last time. It'll be fine.
All right, so that's the shoulder thing. Now, let's get down to the hand thing. Now, I'm going on a limb here. How do you know it's fractured? Like, do you have, like, a home x-ray unit or something?
Bean just knows.
You know what? I actually, this is going to surprise you. I do not have a home x-ray unit.
Okay,
because
so this is a gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling because it hurts so bad. It hurts well beyond what I feel like a sprain would feel like. You know what I mean? Like it's throbbing all the time. That's what makes. And so I've had other fractures in my life.
Okay. Yeah, we know. Like, because you never like fall. That right. thing is a rib yeah, thing not, when you hit yeah. the radiator and stuff. Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
So now if you can. Kind of tell me, does it hurt on your, like, if you know where your wrist is, does it hurt, like, towards the hand or towards the elbow? Like, which direction?
You know what? I do know where my wrist is. It's funny.
That is where that x-ray machine comes in.
I got to start simple.
Yep. It hurts. Look, we don't need to diagnose me on the radio here, you guys.
All right.
It,
so, yes, look, let's. Do. But, Lex, let's say that Bean's right and both sides of his hand are fractured, just for the sake, sake of time.
Okay, the thing of time. Two worst things that it could be. One is called the scaphoid fracture. It's one of the little most commonly broken bones in the wrist. There's a bunch of wrists and a bunch of bones in there that sort of act like marbles in a little bag, and they all work together.
Okay.
And one of them, if it's broken, and I didn't believe this was actually a term, but it's fall on outstretched hand, which the thing is foosh, F-O-O-S-H. Look that up. It's hilarious.
That's what I did. That is exactly what I did.
Yes. And if you did and you looked that up, you realize you probably should go to a doctor. If that little bone's broken and it doesn't get set right, it can start to, like, die.
Kind of. What?
Yeah, and it makes your wrist unstable and you're prone to getting really bad arthritis. And that's the good one.
That's the good one.
Yeah. The really cool one, and I know you guys are going to Google this afterward, and that'll be hilarious. But there's something simple called a Colles fracture, and it's a break in the wrist, in the bone right above the wrist. And if you did break it, it's kind of rarer to break in older men, and it's a sign of osteoporosis. And like a doctor would tell you, you're at higher risk for a hip fracture than somebody else. So in all seriousness, that is something. But if you don't get it treated, it can heal badly and cause your left arm to go into what's called a dinner fork deformity.
I want Bean to have a dinner fork for so bad.
I think you're making the right decision, Bean.
What is a dinner fork deformity?
Well, do you know what a fork looks like?
My gosh, I'm looking at it. Bean, you don't want it.
No,
you don't want a dinner fork deformity.
It sounds cool, though.
I want him to have it. Jensen and I are in favor of it.
I want him to have it bad.
All right, think of the back of a dinner fork, how it's rounded up. That's your wrist. It's just straight, and then your wrist
And that
just
never goes away?
No.
So Bean said, it'll be fine. And what can a doctor do for me? Those are the two questions.
Yep.
I don't feel like this is the definitive answer, though.
Rest in peace, Bean.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. Your chance to win your tickets to the Black Keys Thursday night at the Wiltern, coming up in about a half an hour or so from right now on K-Rock. Also, we're very excited to welcome Adam Conover, who I assume we had on the show at some point in the past. I don't remember. But he is very entertaining, very funny, and very smart, and an amazing head of hair, by the way. He is the host of Adam Ruins Everything.
It's a strange tease, but okay.
Have you seen the dude's hair?
It's pretty great.
It is pretty great.
Incredible.
Yeah. But a strange tease for people listening to the radio, that's all.
First, though,
okay.
Here's a California woman
who did something in her sleep that you won't believe. So let's tell her story. Then we're going to be looking for your story of crazy things you did while you were asleep at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, let's meet Jenna.
Jenna Evans can't help but blush when she talks about her fiancé, Bobby.
We've been together for 5.5 years.
Quite a long time to get the ring of her dreams from the man of her dreams.
I designed it and I picked all the stones and everything.
But Tuesday night, this 3-stone band of love ended up in a dark place.
It's not a horror movie, lady.
It is.
It is a very cool ring, by the way. 2.5 carats, this diamond ring that she's wearing. And wait till you find out where the dark place is it ended up.
I was having a dream that we were on a cargo train and it was a dangerous situation. And Bobby told me, you know, you have to swallow your ring.
Her 007 dream world became a real life emergency.
When I woke up and it was not on my hand, I knew exactly where it was.
So in her dream, and we've all been confused when we're sleeping about what's real and what's fake.
Sure.
In her dream, she was told by her fiance, oh my God, we're in a dangerous situation. We might get robbed. You got to swallow that ring. And she did it while she was asleep. And when she woke up and saw a bare finger, she knew exactly what had happened. How do you feel at that point?
I think you start going through, what can I tell my fiance?
Or also, when am I going to poop? Would also be one of my first thoughts.
Exactly.
Where was it?
It was in my stomach.
The couple felt panic, hilarity, then a little bit of both. At 8 a.m., they rushed into urgent care and explained her bizarre situation.
I wish I could have seen their faces.
The x-ray confirmed her story.
It's very clear. There's no looking for it. It's just right there.
And you do see there's pictures in this news report of the x-ray. And right there, man, is her big old diamond ring just hanging out in her stomach. So
How is it? It's still shiny in the x-ray.
I know. It looks really great.
Yeah.
It's great.
Her gastroenterologist suggested an emergency endoscopy.
I was really happy because I don't know if I'd ever be able to look at it and appreciate it in the same way if I had to search for it.
That's a very nice way to say it.
You're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be putting things in your butt.
If I had to search for it.
Oh, no.
So how does that work? I mean, they said they put a tube down her throat, but they can't bring the ring up with that tube. Like, how? I mean, did they have to cut into her? How do they get the ring out?
I think they could.
I would think, And if it's an upper endoscopy, don't they put the thing down? Then they could just kind of hook it?
I think they could just kind of hook it.
No, but what you're saying is they pull it out, like, with a tube in her throat?
Yeah, uh-huh. I think they do it like how you get water out of a well. Right?
Oh.
Like with a pail? Like you
like
go
Lassie
down.
Is like, whoop, whoop, and you're like, where, Lassie?
The ring's in my poo. And so I think it just picks it up on the way out. That's what I assume.
Oh, that's fascinating. So they don't have to cut into her.
No, they've got the little light in the camera on it. They see where it is, then they're all...
But if it is in a tough place or a dark place, as they say, I think then they would have to cut in.
All right, a little more.
Meaning let nature take its course?
Mm-hmm.
So she went under, and a few minutes later, Evans was reunited with her engagement ring.
I feel very grateful that I got it back and that it is, it does end as a happy, funny story.
A crazy adventure that gives new meaning to a sparkling bride inside and out, and a reminder to be a bit more careful when going to bed.
I have been taking it off at night.
Just in case.
Just in case.
In San Diego, Rena Nakano, 10 News.
The reporter needs to be fired.
Yeah.
First of all.
It's not,
that's nice.
Second of all, that's what she did. She ate her engagement ring. That's what she did while she was sleeping, you guys. Had
Fantastic.
No memory of it until she woke up. So that's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. I think Lynn in Long Beach is going to set a high bar here of what we're looking for. Line two, please.
Hey, Lynn.
Hi. So when I was about 7 years old, I walked to my friend's house. In my sleep.
Asleep.
Okay. Whoa.
Did you sleepwalk all the time? That was a thing?
Now I do weird things, but back then it was kind of around. That was like the weirdest thing I did. And so I walked her. I kind of remember the street under my feet. I remember ringing the doorbell, and then I don't remember anything else. And when I came back, my dad thought I was a burglar. Like, so he was about to jump me.
And he shot me?
As I walked in the door.
Wow. How far was your friend's house?
It was like a block.
Wow.
And you rang the doorbell?
Yeah, I rang the doorbell, and her dad was like this really hot-headed kind of guy. So if he would have answered, he probably would have shot me too.
Two dads trying to shoot you.
Yeah. You're lucky to be alive.
So my dad, yeah, so when I walked in the door, my dad is like, Lynn, where have you been? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I went to Leslie's house to play.
Can I ask you, you were wearing pajamas, I assume. Because you were a kid,
I was
right?
Naked. No, I'm kidding.
I'm just saying it sort of matters because if you're asleep, maybe you're not thinking. Maybe you're not thinking about that,
Kevin. I don't know. You've raised more children than I have, but how many 7 year olds are sleeping naked? Honestly,
I mean that's a valid point.
And also, don't ask that question on the radio.
You could retract that question.
Another valid point. Okay,
Lynn, that was Kevin Ryder.
No,
Kevin Ryder is the name you want to tell the authorities. Yeah. All right, let's do one more before the break. 1-800-520-1067. Let's make it James Pasadena, line 6. Up next on K-Rock.
Hey, James.
Hey guys. So one night, probably the first time I took Ambien, ended up getting up in the middle of the night and making myself a three course dinner. Yep.
Wow.
Like you were a chef. Like you put together a full like entrees and everything.
I was actually studying to be a personal chef.
Wow.
And the way that I knew what had happened. It was the next morning I'd gone into my kitchen and found out that I had also done all the dishes.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
wow.
You are a delight.
You know what? You're like, you would be a perfect boyfriend or husband in your sleep,
right? Yeah.
You just wake him up in the middle of the night and you're like, I want fish. That would be amazing.
I don't think waking anyone up and saying, I want fish is a good idea.
I think so. What if he wakes you up with the same request, Allie?
All right, Jay. I think we were all clear on that joke before.
Yeah. We saw where it was going. And noted.
I'm asleep right now. I'm not in control of what I'm doing. All right. 1-800-520-1067. What did you do in your sleep? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Set a blink 182. Let's take one phone call. You did something in your sleep. Jay in Burbank. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
So what happened?
Unfortunately, I woke up this morning at the gas station after I sleptwalked listening to Kevin and Bean talk about sleepwalking.
What?
I think it's probably the most meme or the most meta thing that's ever happened.
Why the f*** you lying?
Wait, are you telling us the truth, Jay?
From time to time. But no, seriously, like I woke up from the issue of being too messed up last night and was like, what is happening here? And you guys are actually available on live stream online. And I just keep K-Rock on all the time. So Kevin and Bean is a good indicator as to what time I should wake up.
All right.
Okay, I think you're still asleep. I think you're asleep right now.
It'd be great if he's in his bed right now.
Because you're not making any sense.
Mr. Baxter, I do not agree with you. Ryder, I love you.
Okay, all right. Let's leave it there. Thank you for the call, Jay. I don't think that was what we were looking for, but if you actually did something while you were sleepwalking, we want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after some more from Blink-182 on the world-famous camera. California woman swallowed her engagement ring while she was sleeping because in a dream, that's what she had to do. And she woke up in real life and found out that's what she had done. So we're taking your calls on things you've done while you were asleep. Let's talk to Emma. She's in L.A. Please, line 5.
Emma, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What's up?
So I was about 8 years old, and I woke up, but I was still kind of sleeping. And I went to my bathroom, and I started peeing in the bathtub.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
So far, so good.
And so after this happened, I started walking to my room. And instead of going to sleep back in my bed, I opened up my cabinet drawer and started sleeping in.
Oh, my God. I love this story so much.
You went back to your room and slept in a cabinet.
I slept in a cabinet drawer.
Were your parents like, who peed in the bathtub? Emmett, are you asleep in the cabinet?
Again.
Was that your only experience sleepwalking, or was this a frequent problem for you?
I think a couple of times I peed on the floor, but this is the only one where I slept in a cabinet.
That's crazy. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Angela is in Long Beach on line 6. This is not her, but this is her husband. I think you guys will enjoy.
Hey, Angela.
Hi. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. Tell us about your man.
So I'm hoping he's not listening because he's going to kill me. But so a number of years ago when we were first married, he used to sleep naked. And we also at the time were living with my mom, and one night he gets up
I see him go out the wrong door, but I'm not really paying attention. And then in the morning, I find out that he walked through the living room, butt naked, stood in front of my mom, then went outside and peed in the bushes. And then he came back in the house and stood in front of my mom as she's sitting on the couch watching TV with just a shocked look on her face. And then he, like, I guess, I don't know, scratched himself and came back to bed. And so then in the morning, my mom was like, Ange, is he on drugs? And so then I had to tell
Listen to me, honey. I need to move out. I need to move out today.
Yeah. It's like the funniest story.
I will have what your husband is having. I think that sounds like the way to live. Thank you for the call.
What a terrible mistake by her husband.
Oh, Jensen.
How awful.
Was her mom hot? It's the only question we didn't
Come
ask.
Come on.
Man, what a terrible thing to have done. Obviously sleepwalking.
Let's go to line three in Pasadena and say hi to Chris. This is a little more than just walking around your house. Chris, what did you do while you were asleep?
I went and played pickup basketball at the park.
What?
In my pajamas.
How is that even possible that that wouldn't wake you up?
Oh, I actually did wake up kind of on the court. Like, I have no memory of walking there. And actually, honestly, guys, the first, like, minute or two, it dawned on me, was I, like, abducted by aliens? It was like I was missing time. Never slept walk since or before, so it...
Oh, so you were trying to figure out just exactly what got you there playing basketball, and you thought maybe one of the options was abducted by an alien.
Chris, let's not rule that out.
Right? Maybe it is. It's possible.
Honestly, Allie, I have not ruled it out since.
Amen.
I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I do have to ask, did your butt hurt?
It's a great question.
Well, yeah, you really didn't have to ask that, Bean, but no, it didn't. Okay.
Well, when you're talking about abductions, that's usually one way to tell. Great point. Thank you very much for the call, Chris. Let's say hi to Line 1's Brett. He is in Huntington Beach. Up next, talking about things you did in your sleep. Hi, Brett. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, party people.
Morning. What'd you do?
So it wasn't me. It was my wife.
Sure. Go ahead.
It was the day before I was going to turn in my final teaching credential project, and I woke up looking for it, couldn't find it. The house was all rearranged, furniture moved.
What a panic.
And I'm losing my mind, and I finally open up the refrigerator to get a water bottle because I'm sweating from tearing up the house, and it was in the fridge.
She put it in the fridge?
Yeah. She didn't take Ambien, nothing. But 4 years of work almost went down the drain because she cleaned up the house and decided it needed to go in the fridge.
I mean, that's a woman for you, right?
I'm not even sure what that means.
I don't think that works. All of these mistakes sound so accidental.
You think her wife just did not want him to become a teacher, so she sabotaged
him? Well, I'm just saying, it just sounds like everyone hates their spouses and is like, I was sleeping when I had sex with that woman.
I stood in front of my mother-in-law naked.
Uh-huh.
I believe Brett's story.
I keyed your car in my sleep.
Let's go to line 5, Los Angeles. Let's say good morning to Ashley on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning, Ashley.
Good morning.
So this was your mom was asleep.
So, yeah, my mom tends to sleepwalk, or she does things when she's asleep. One time when I was, like, really little, I was about maybe 4 or 5 years old, my mom and my dad were having, like, a really big fight. And my dad decided, you know, he was going to take his things, and he was walking out, and she was sitting down on the couch the whole time. And then all of a sudden she wakes up. Well, I mean, her eyes were, they were open, but I guess she snaps out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just asked him, like, hey, where are you going? Like, where are you taking those clothes? And he's like, well, what do you mean? Like, they were, you know, I'm leaving the house. He's like, I'm leaving. I'm tired of this. And she's like, okay, well, she didn't really know what was going on. It turns out she was asleep the whole time.
Oh, wow. Conversations with people while you're asleep is the most terrifying thing to me.
Yeah, that doesn't seem good.
She does that. She does things like that. She's woken up and, it looks like she's awake, but she's really not. She has kind of like a lost look on her face. But she's done it where, like, you know, she's poking my back, and she thought I was an ATM.
Wait, did money come out of your butt?
She does crazy things like that. So we already know when she has that lost look, it's like she's asleep.
Gotcha. Thank you, Ashley. Let's do one more. Let's close with Sarah, line 7. She's in Mission Viejo. I think this is my favorite.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey. Hi there.
Hi.
I have
woken up without my shirt 3 times.
Hiya, folks.
Okay. Is it maybe that you just get hot during the night, so you take off your top?
And how hot? How hot would you get?
Walk us through it, Sarah.
Okay.
Now, this is no big deal if it's just you in your bed, but are you also sleepwalking and you're just walking around like the house topless or the neighborhood topless?
No, I just wake up that way, but I have absolutely no memory whatsoever of taking off my shirt. I'll find it on the floor. I'll find it under a pillow.
Yeah. I'd just like to say, I don't think we want to discourage this.
But do you ever, like, check your phone the next day? All of a sudden, you realize you just FaceTimed people. You're like, it's me, Sarah. These are my boobies.
Hello.
I mean, think about it.
I mean, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can win tickets to go see the Black Keys Thursday night at the Wiltern. All right, 5 minutes from right now. In the meantime, Allie, what's happening on this Tuesday?
Not great news, you guys. As you all know, Alex Trebek, the host of Jeopardy, was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer this past March. And then in May, he had said he was near remission. And people were so thrilled because pancreatic cancer doesn't have a great final outcome for most. I would say the majority of people. Well, Alex Trebek has put out a video keeping people abreast of what is going on, and it's not the best news.
One of the things I've learned in the past 6 months is that the course of pancreatic cancer treatment is not a straightforward affair. There are always curves and unexpected events. This past summer, because I was making such good progress, we thought I was finished with chemo. That was a bit premature and certainly over-optimistic. I began immunotherapy, but that didn't go very well at all. My numbers went south dramatically and quickly. The doctors are now re-examining my situation, and it appears I will be having more chemo treatments ahead of me. Hey, they worked very well the first time, so we're expecting good results again. But please keep me in your good thoughts and prayers. Believe me, it means a lot.
Mm. Ugh.
Yeah, that sucks.
No!
Ugh. Yeah. So he stopped chemo, started immunotherapy, and he said he lost 12 pounds in a week.
Wow.
And the numbers just went sky high, even higher than they were when he was first diagnosed. So he is back on chemo, and in typical Alex Trebek form, he plans to keep showing up for work as long as he's able to. Unbelievable. I don't like things.
No, that sucks.
Yeah. You want some good news-ish?
Ish? Sure. We'll take it after that last story.
You want to be saved by the bell?
Oh, this is good news?
Because it's all right. NBC Universal's newly named streaming service, which I was not aware that their new streaming service would be called Peacock. They're teaming up with Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley for a new Saved by the Bell series. Here's the interesting thing. They say sources say the streamer is in talks with other cast members, including Mark Paul Gosselaar, to potentially return. Here's why it's interesting, because here's what the show is about. The comedy explores what happens when California Governor Zach Morris gets into hot water for closing too many low-income high schools. So he proposes that they send the affected students to the highest performing schools in the state, including Bayside High. The influx of new students give the overprivileged Bayside kids a much-needed and hilarious dose of reality.
Nope.
I feel like if the show centers around California Governor Zach Morris doing this, you should be sure to have Zach Morris.
I mean, it seems like you would want that.
They're in talks with... maybe hold off on the announcement until you... I don't know.
Maybe don't do the show.
Without...
Another good thought.
Without Mark Paul Gosselaar?
At all. Yeah. Period.
Even with...
Oh, at all.
Yeah, in general.
Okay. We will see what happens, but Peacock canceled. Is launching in April of 2020.
Oh, they don't have much time then.
No, they don't have a lot of time. They do, however, have another show. Did any of you read The Hollywood Reporter's investigative feature on Evangeline?
No. Angeline.
Angeline. Yes. Why did I say Evangeline?
I don't know.
Angeline, yes, it was great.
It was amazing.
Really good.
And if you don't know who Angeline is, what are you doing? She's the woman with the crazy blonde hair, the little pink dress. She drives around in a little pink Corvette.
Has she ever done anything other than that?
Not really.
Billboards or pink Corvettes.
She's been in, like, movies and stuff.
She has?
Okay. Yeah.
But just as a cameo because she was already famous from the billboards that some mysterious benefactor put up on her behalf. I mean, she's not famous for anything.
Anything else, yeah.
Yeah, she's a self-created pop culture icon.
Which
icon
in 2019 is, that's famous now. Yeah.
I don't know anyone who hasn't seen Angeline in person around Southern California.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everyone has. Yeah. I bought gas, next to her at a gas pump one time. You know, I mean, she's just always out there being Angeline.
And she was, I think, one of the first to be like, oh, you want a picture? Sure, pay me.
Right.
So you would take a picture with her by her car, and then you'd have to give her $10.
And her origin story is wild.
It's amazing. And that is what they're going to be doing on NBC Universal's newly named streaming service, Peacock. They have bought the rights to The Hollywood Reporter senior writer Gary Baum's investigative feature based on the L.A. Billboard diva. Playing Angeline, Emmy Rossum.
Okay.
I don't necessarily see the, similarity.
I don't either.
But she's a great actress.
She's a great actress.
She can make it happen.
Absolutely. If you don't know the story of Angeline, it was uncovered in this expose. She is the daughter of Holocaust survivors, and basically she was born in Poland in 1950 to parents who were among the 500 to survive out of a town of 13,000. Her parents were sent to concentration camps before escaping to America and settling in L.A.'s Fairfax district. Then her mother passed away, father remarried, and she went to high school in Panorama City, and the paper trail ends there.
That's the weird part.
Nobody knows what happened between high school and when she just started appearing on billboards and driving that pink, is it a Corvette?
I think so.
It says Cadillac in this article, which has changed
over the years.
But what happened in that chunk of time? Who's paying for all of these billboards? I love this show so much already.
And it's her and it's Emmy and her husband, right?
Her husband who created Mr. Robot, who is wonderful, Sam Ismail. And it's, wow, I'm in. Now you got me, Peacock.
Agreed.
Right? Good times, everybody. You want to hear some birthdays?
Sure.
Great. Cassandra Peterson, also
Elvira.
Known.
Yeah.
Also, why did he say it originally so quickly?
It's got to be a game. It's got to be a game or something where he's trying to get it out fast.
Maybe.
Let's hear it again.
Yeah. It is way faster. Elvira.
I love it so much.
Well said, Kevin.
Happy birthday to Phil Jackson, Bobby Lee, and Baz Luhrmann. And that's what's happening.
All right, we have tickets for you to see the Black Keys. The game is called Name That Tune.
No, it is not.
Okay. We are going to be looking for anyone with a
some musical, talent.
Sure.
Knowledge. Not really. No.
Okay. You know what music is.
If you're alive.
Yeah. You heard of music.
Feel free to
I think most importantly, you want to see the Black Keys and are available to see the Black Keys Thursday night. That's what we're looking for. We're giving away a pair of tickets. You can earn them next. 1-800-520-106.
Our success rate with new games is right around 8%.
Oh, I think that's generous.
That's high?
Well, I do know that the last one was the biggest disaster in a while. But that didn't stop us from getting right back on the horse, did it?
Nope.
We are giving away tickets every hour today on the Kevin and Bean Show for the Black Keys at the Wiltern. Huge band, small venue. I think they play like Staples Center and stuff, don't they? The Black Keys?
They're
headliners. Yeah. And this is a great chance to see them in a small place. You can go to KRock.com to win another chance, or you can be on hold right now at 1-800-520-1067. The game is called Black Key or White Key.
Is it a black key? Is it a white? Is it a white key? Is it a black key?
We understand.
No.
Is it a white key?
So what's going to happen?
Is it a black key?
Or is it a white?
Okay, all right.
Key?
So what we're
is
gonna
it
do?
A black key?
Please stop.
Is it a white key? Is it a black key? Or is it a white key?
Okay, I think we're now we're done. Okay. Omar, I can't help but notice you brought a piece of musical equipment in here with you this morning. What's going on?
Is it a toy?
It is a toy. It's a toy piano. It's my daughter's toy piano. And Jensen brought up in the morning show office yesterday.
Hey, don't put me under
that. Jensen's idea. Definitely Jensen's idea.
You know
idea.
What we should do? We should have the listeners call in and see if they can guess if I'm playing a white key or a black key.
No. They sound exactly the same.
Oh, doesn't that a trained ear?
White key, black key.
I can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah. There you go.
But can you tell the difference when you're only playing one of them? That's the question.
All right, let's see.
All right, so that's all you have to do is tell us whether it's a black key or a white
key. This was a good idea for a game, Allie.
I'll take it. I think it's great.
Who's our first contestant, please?
Kathy in Victorville. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, if you get this right, if you correctly identify the color of the key that Omar is playing on the toy piano, you go into the drawing. Someone at the end will win tickets to the Black Keys on Thursday night. You ready to hear it?
Yes.
Good luck.
That's a white key.
Oh, sorry.
Black key.
Kathy.
Oh, man, Kathy.
I thought white, too.
Kathy is racist.
White is right. That's what you're saying.
AF,
that's
by
not
the way.
What I'm saying. Nope.
Jeff in Long Beach. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Right, you ready for your key?
So far, so good.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Ooh, black key.
It's a black key!
It's a black key! Nicely done.
All right, he's in the drawing. Who's our next contestant?
Jose in Panorama City. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, you ready for your key?
Yes, sir.
Here we go.
That is a terrible key right there.
I'm going to go ahead and say white key.
It's a white key!
It is a white key!
Is it a black key?
Right, you got it right.
Sure.
That one sounded more like a broken key, last one.
Yeah, that was a little janky.
I don't know if that's a third option, but...
let's go to Eric in Thousand Oaks. Good morning.
Yeah, Eric.
Good morning, party people. This game is torture.
All right.
You're wrong.
Clear your head. Do not be racist, but listen up. Is this a black key or is this a white key?
Oh, that's a black key.
Yep.
Yes,
is it a black
key? Yes, he already said it. You said it was.
Is it a white key?
You said it was. Yeah.
By the way, a higher success rate than you might expect just based on the 50-50 odds, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Phil in Anaheim. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. Are you ready?
I hope Phil gets this right. I want him in the drawing.
All right, here we go.
Oh, that sounds sharp. Let's go black key.
Yep. Black key!
Look at that.
Black key.
You got it right.
Is it a white key?
Maybe, maybe just one more contestant, please, for all of our sanity.
That's all we can take? Let's go to, what is it?
Karis?
Karis?
Is it Ivor?
How do you say your name?
Good morning.
Hi.
It's Karis. Karis. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Is that a mate? Is that
Thousand Oaks?
Is that a made-up name, something your parents came up with, or did it exist before?
That is a made-up name. My dad was a pastor, and it is a Greek name. But I'm Swedish, so go figure.
Okay. It all makes sense, right, until that last
part. Quite the journey.
Just as confusing as our game.
All right. Okay, good luck. Black key or white key? Here's Omar.
So, yikes. I'm going to say that's a black key.
Is it a black?
It's not a black key.
Right,
Kara sounded like a nice lady, too. I'm sorry she did not make the drawing, but Jeff did, Jose did, Eric did, and Phil did. They're all in the running to win tickets for the Black Keys at the Wiltern Thursday night. By the way, don't forget, again, a bonus chance to win at KRF.com. But who's our winner this hour?
I believe he called the game torture. Yeah, Eric.
Yeah!
Congratulates, Eric. Congratulations. Thanks for playing the game.
Is it a black key? Is it a white key?
Is it too late to cancel Adam Conover?
You guys
why? Why would you do that?
I
was just watching a clip, and he says that there's 62 different types of insects living in the average home.
I mean, he didn't make that up.
You think he's putting them in the homes?
Yes, I think that he's planting all of these insects in homes.
Did you see the part on his show where he tells you how many insects you eat every time you eat chocolate? Did you see that part?
Well, can we talk to him about just bringing in positive stuff? I don't want him to ruin.
I mean, Adam everything. Yeah. Isn't going to be so much like Adam talks puppies.
No, I thought he was going to ruin things like Nazis or I thought he was going to ruin terrible,
real difficult things. Like
dude,
ruining the Nazis.
I didn't know my house.
The dude ruined philanthropy. Yeah. Something you think is like the most wonderful thing that you're giving away and giving back. And
well,
he's
I don't
like,
want
nope.
this reality check.
Right?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Is it too late?
He may be too smart for us. I'll tell you that. Because Adam knows everything. He is the host of Adam Ruins Everything. And he'll be joining us in studio coming up right after 9 a.m. First, Allie's got what's happening here on a Tuesday.
More like Adam's on time. Dude's already here.
Right?
Very impressive.
How's his hair, by the way? Dave, how's Adam?
He does have great hair.
How's Adam's hair looking this morning?
His hair looks great.
I can't wait.
I
can't wait
to see it.
Can't wait.
Are there 65 insects in it?
Yep.
Adam doesn't ruin hair.
No.
So
true.
We've got that to look forward to. Yeah. Okay. Guys, I've got a story from Deadline. Okay. They are reporting that Robert Downey Jr. will appear in Black Widow. That's the upcoming standalone movie centering around Scarlett Johansson's character.
I thought he was done.
Well, here's the
spoiler
thing.
Spoiler alert.
Here's the thing. Spoiler alert. Not only is he dead, but isn't Black Widow dead?
Si, senorita.
So, the movie's a prequel, so it totally makes sense. They're both alive.
Good point.
Okay.
That's a good point.
All right. Says the girl that has never seen any of these movies. She just told you that.
You were right.
Tidbit. Thank you so much.
I can't believe they find ways to get richer.
Yeah.
Like, you thought they were done, and now...
No, he's going to be Tony Stark in, like... He's in the new Mad About You reboot. Like, he just shows up next door, and he's like, I'm Tony Stark.
Oh, he's just in everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he isn't in that new reboot. So
can't wait for Mad About You.
Please don't. I wasn't
excited until I found out they live next door to a superhero.
I made that up.
I can't wait for it.
I apologize. Guys.
I'm going to put on my jams.
Big thing happening at SoFi Stadium here in Los Angeles.
It's got to have some fat hip-hop beats.
Well, not so much. They are going to open up the stadium July 25th and 26th with a concert.
This is the Rams and the Chargers' new place?
Yes, it is. This will be the first woman in history to open an NFL stadium.
Elvira.
It is not Elvira, but what a coup if they got her, right? It is...
Debbie?
Not Debbie. Any other guesses? The first woman in history to open an NFL stadium. Two shows, July 25th.
Kaiser Permanente.
Farrah Abramson.
And 26th.
Is it Kaiser,
Kaiser
or Farrah?
Permanente is a hospital, and Farrah Abramson, I don't know what she would do.
I could tell you.
Okay. No, that is just a mispronunciation of a name. Whichever Tilly isn't the one that gambles. Jennifer gambles, and Meg Tilly is the one that doesn't, and
it is not Jennifer Tilly.
Okay, seriously. Opening a stadium, right?
Yes.
So, big star.
Crooked Hillary Clinton.
Just out there in her pants.
Got a new album out.
Just showing her emails.
This is so obvious to me.
Okay.
So.
My sister Yvette.
It is not dear Yvette, however much I'd love to see her.
Damn it.
Golden pussy finger. I mean, that's ma'am.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was the name of a Bond movie.
Wow.
I mean, there are a lot of elements there that were close.
Thank you.
D's nuts, bitch.
D's nuts, bitch, is not a person.
Wow.
You guys, come
that's
on.
Too bad.
Joe Moss.
That's not even a human. Hi, it's Kat. That is a woman, and she is not performing at SoFi Stadium.
Is it Cookie?
It is not Cookie.
This is Peggy Noonan.
It's not Peggy
this
Noonan.
This is harder than I thought.
Yeah.
His name's Furlock Bones.
That's not even a real name, ma'am.
pop star Taylor Swift.
Is it actually great?
Pop star Taylor Swift. She will be the first woman in history to open an NFL stadium July 25th, 26th at SoFi Stadium here in Los Angeles, you guys.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She will not be making it.
I got bad news for you, Rodney.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Taylor has played almost every stadium in America anyway, so I guess you might as well check this one off the list, too.
She's got a point. She's an icon. Mm-hmm. She's a legend. And she is the moment.
All right. Well, take
listen
it from
to Bean. She's already open all right? the other stadiums. Why not this one, too?
It's almost like he's annoyed with it.
He is.
No, like, what I'm saying is it does make sense because she plays stadiums everywhere. So
Demi Lovato.
Yeah,
we
already got it.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, we already announced it.
Okay. More Taylor news, which I'm sure Bean knows. She is going to be returning to The Voice as a mega mentor.
This is not a sane person, folks.
She's going to be working with the coaches John Legend, Blake Shelton, Kelly Clarkson, Gwen Stefani, and all of their singers to prepare them for the knockout round, you guys.
I think she's unstable, to tell you the truth.
I don't think that's what we're saying at all. We're saying she's got a lot of stuff happening, coming up soon.
She has two vaginas.
Not sure about that.
She's lying.
She's not even doing it.
We could look into that. That's weird.
The girl of my dreams.
Okay, we're going to get out of here so Adam can ruin stuff for us.
She went bungee jumping naked.
I don't think that's true either.
I think that one's true.
That is true?
I'm not positive.
Wow. All right.
I think so.
Good for you, T-Swizzle. Some birthdays for you. Baz Luhrmann, Bobby Lee, Phil Jackson, and you might know her as...
Elvira.
Yeah, it's Cassandra Peterson.
Stand-up comedian, host of Adam Ruins Everything on True TV, and factually the podcast available wherever you get yours, and a phenomenal head of hair, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Conover.
Hey. Thank you so much for having me and my hair on the show.
I think it's a crime to have to put headphones on that hair, man.
It was an odd second when you sat down and Bean said, why haven't we had you on before? Well, you can answer that.
I'm not sure. Sure, you know, I don't know. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, we've missed the boat because you're in the third season of Adam Ruins Everything, and it's 100% our kind of show, at least my kind of show, because I'm like you, a very, very curious people. I think Kevin and Allie's thought is that you ruin too many things that they would prefer blissful ignorance about.
Head in the sand. That's my thing.
Well, that's what the show is about. You know, our show, we debunk common misconceptions for folks who don't know, and it's an informational comedy show. But my belief is that it's always better to know the truth about anything. There's no virtue in ignorance.
Don't be ridiculous.
No, it completely is. Because it's a little uncomfortable at first, but then when you find out the truth, then you learn how you can, you know, have more power in the world, and it makes you, you know, there's no bad thing about understanding the world around you.
You said
better.
There were 62 different types of insects in the average house.
Yes, there's 62.
I don't need to know that.
Well, you might, because then it might make you a little bit less upset when you see a particular insect. You know, when you see a spider or something like that, you're like, well, there's just
61 left.
Like, tell Adam what happened, Kevin. I got bit by a brown recluse. That happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was about a 3-month thing.
Wow, yeah. Did
so
you really?
When you say 62 types of insects, I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Now, do you know it was, are you sure it was a brown recluse? How do you know?
I didn't see it, but all of the way that my skin reacted to it and the skin kept dying and everything, they pretty much eliminated everything else.
God, because one of the things we talk about in the episode airing tonight, which is Adam Ruins Bugs, we talk about how people are, you know, unnecessarily afraid of spiders.
Just not
and
true.
One of the reasons.
Not true. I kill all spiders.
Yeah. Well, but I don't look. A lot of people who think they got a spider bite, like, you know, people's fear about spider bites, most of the time spider bites are actually something else. It's not actually
I think that's what Kevin thought. Kevin
what
did what
first,
normal people did and ignored it, and then as his back started to melt, he went to a doctor, and they were like, this is a brown recluse. Like, he's the one guy we know.
Yeah, that's, like, exceptionally rare to actually be bitten by a spider.
Yeah.
Congratulations
to you. And after that, my partner Bean said, I'm still team spider.
I am.
Yep. Yeah.
I thought that was odd. But
it
I love spiders, and I pick them up and put them outside because aren't they, Adam, you're the expert here, aren't they 99% positive to the world?
They are extremely positive. They obviously everybody knows spiders kill and eat other bugs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we actually talk about on the show how spiders are like a natural pesticide, and if there were no spiders, we couldn't even grow crops because spiders are so important to eating pests that would destroy our crops.
Outside my doors. That's cool.
I would just like to say that was a spider eating a pest.
lost, is what I would like to say.
Putting it outside on a playing card, great idea. That's a really good way to do it. After you let it bite you a couple times, then let it outside.
Are you going to get into, like, how they are in our ears, how we're eating them throughout the night?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Oh, that's the second act of the show.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
well, eating spiders in the night, that's a myth. That's okay. A rumor. That's literally like a fake tweet that somebody said.
That's from a Snapple top.
Yes,
that's
that we eat spiders in the middle of the night. That's not true at all.
We had a listener who used to put duct tape on her mouth overnight because she was afraid of that very thing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you don't eat spiders at night. What you do eat is a lot of bugs during the day. There's a huge number of bugs in your food already. Canned vegetables have a ton of bug parts in them, mouths, thoraxes, and things like that. And we did the math. If you eat 100 pounds of chocolate, by the time you've eaten 100 pounds of chocolate, you have eaten 1 pound of bugs because, one hundredth of the weight of chocolate is bugs.
Worth it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think it is worth it. And the FDA, literally, it is 100% allowed because they're like, hey, this is a safe form of protein. The only problem is if people notice there's bugs in there. So they have a limit where it's like you can't have so many that people are literally seeing bug legs.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's probably a good policy.
You're harvesting plants. There's bugs on the plants. You're grinding them up. There's going to be some bugs in your food.
A little extra protein.
And so we actually go on to talk about how, now that might make you unhappy to learn that, right? That might be momentarily uncomfortable. But we go on to tell you that bugs are such an efficient form of protein in terms of how much fuel they use, how much water they use, et cetera. In a growing world where more and more people need food to eat, we should all be eating more bugs. And we should be making, you know, flour and you know, protein meal and stuff like that out of bugs. And so we should all be comfortable.
So you're saying we're not eating enough bugs.
We're not eating enough bugs. We should all get comfortable with eating more bugs. We have a chef come on the show. To prepare a meal with bugs, a delicious meal using ant larvae and things like that.
And did you eat it?
I did eat it, and it was good. It was a little like, you know, there's some of it like has the texture of caviar, you know.
Have you learned anything on your show that's bummed you out?
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's, you know, I think it's my duty to learn these things.
Sure.
So, like, I'm a big old fan of the Olympics. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite sporting event. I get really excited for
it
every
too.
4 years. Yeah. And the Olympics is terrible all the way around. First of all, the athletes, except for the Michael Phelpses of the world, are not paid. In fact, the IOC, the International Olympic Committee, prevents them from making money.
Yeah, you have to be an amateur to compete, right?
Yeah, you have to be an amateur to compete, and they don't let you use the Olympics to raise money. So you can't say, hey, I'm a shot putter in, you know, Illinois, and hey, everybody chip in because I'm going to the Olympics. They'll sue you if you use the phrase the Olympics to try to make money.
That seems not cool.
And so we talked to this dude who is a Olympic gold medalist for the U.S. in shot put, and he said, I couldn't feed my family that same year because I wasn't able to make money at this. And then that's just the athletes.
But he can throw a rock really far, though. He's got that,
right? Yeah, in case that's ever needed.
At least there's been no shadiness with the IOC. Like, they are FIFA.
So that's great news. Yes,
they are.
There you go. Yeah, they're really, really bad. And that's what we go on to talk about, that they make billions and billions on, you know, the Pepsi endorsements, things like that. But the athletes aren't paid. And then the cities are usually screwed as well.
And I want to ask you about that, Adam, because and I know a lot of people have thought that this Qatar award for a couple of years from now was super shady
for the World Cup.
Oh, is it World Cup? I'm sorry. But any of these cities that win it, I always feel like there's some underhanded money changing hands.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because look who it benefits, right? The people it primarily benefits is it here in L.A. where we're going to have the Olympics, right? It benefits the mayor because he gets to say, well, I got the Olympics here.
Sure.
Who else does it benefit? Well, maybe I'll buy a ticket and go see a track meet. I get a little bit out of it. It really benefits the developers who are building the stadiums, building new Olympic hotels and things like that. Who does it hurt? The people who used to live in those buildings that are going to get torn down. There are people already getting pushed out because, you know, the Olympics is a couple years away, but the developers are saying, well, we're going to turn this into condos.
Dude, you're
and
kind
hotels.
Of a bummer.
Yeah. And here's the thing. But here's the thing. Now I have a richer understanding of the Olympics. And when I watch it, I'm still going to watch it. Now I know this about it. I can tell other people about it. I can be informed. I'm still going to go buy a ticket.
Sure.
Like, are you kidding me? Of course.
But won't Los Angeles benefit benefit from the cleaning up ahead of the world's eyes being on our stage by getting infrastructure repaired and
I'll
things
tell
like
you,
that?
I'll tell you. Well, first of all, look, they're building a lot of subways and things like that for the Olympics. They're accelerating that. That's good, right?
But
when you talk about cleaning up, like, there have been cities that literally would just move homeless people out.
Yeah,
like,
it's going to be
just
brutal.
Or just low-income people, right? Yeah. And just like, get out of here, get off the streets because we want to put on a nice face. And those people get shoved away. I mean, you saw what happened in China.
But they get a free bus ride.
To another city until they get the Olympics.
Free bus ride to 20 miles out of Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
All right. Adam Conover is here. The show is called Adam Ruins Everything. It airs every Tuesday night at 10 on True TV in its third season. We want to talk some more about that and the podcast as well with Adam and his hair right after this on K-Rock. Before we get back to Adam Ruins Everything and talk a little bit about the Factually podcast, I just wanted to ask just a brief summation of how you got started. Was it with improv, stand-up, what, Adam?
Yeah, well, I did sketch comedy for many years. And then simultaneously, I started doing stand-up in New York City as a comic. And that's why this show is kind of a combination of sketch and stand-up in style. But I, you know, when you're a comic, you're trying to... first, you learn how to make people laugh. And then after that, you have to learn how to make people, like, give a crap about what you're saying.
Yeah.
And so I started... Like, I've just always been an information sponge and, like, sucked in information like this. And I just started in my act, like, telling it to the audience and going, like, that's crazy, isn't it? And, like, the first thing I ever did that with was the story about the diamond engagement ring. How the tradition of the diamond engagement ring was invented by the De Beers Corporation in the 30s and promoted in an ad campaign. Then we all forgot it was an ad campaign, and now we treat it like it's a rule. Like, you have to do it, right? So we all got suckered into it.
And we have to pay 2 months salary, too, according to De Beers, right?
Yes, exactly.
Or
is it
3 months? What was it?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's like in my joke, because it's like in 100 years, we were all going, what's that old rule? Pizza in the morning, pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time. You must eat pizza all the time. Okay. All right. I guess that's what you have to do. And so I started doing that on stage. And when I told those jokes, I noticed people really paid attention. And they started like leaning forward and going like, whoa, is that true? That's crazy. You know?
He's a comedian, so probably not.
Then I started doing, I was working at College Humor, and we made sketches. Of you know, we did web videos of it, and then we sold it to True TV, and then here I am now.
Fantastic. Now, do you still do stand-up?
Yeah, as much as I can. I've been touring a new live show called Mind Parasites, which is about sort of this psychedelic biology class about like these messed up parasites that control their host's minds in nature. Like,
oh,
there's
nice.
A fungus that controls the mind of an ant and stuff like that. And I use that as a way to talk about the cultural parasites that are trying to control our minds. So I talk about advertising, alcohol, talk about my own journey quitting drinking, and I talk about the social media algorithms and
Would you have taught if you didn't get into comedy?
You know, that's a really good question. I wanted to, when I was in college, I was like, I want to go to grad school and be a professor and go to college forever.
That's
like,
kind of the family business.
It is. Yeah, my family are all PhDs. My parents are both college professors. My dad's a college professor. My mom was a teacher for many years. And I wanted to go into that, but I had really bad ADD, and I could not get the reading done. Like, I couldn't, stick to one thing. I'm always jumping around from article to article.
So happy to hear that.
And that's just how my mind works, and that's so I went into comedy instead, and I sort of knew I could do it's kind of the same thing in comedy a little bit. It took me 10 years to figure out how, but
with the stuff that you've presented on Adam Ruins Everything, have you ever changed anything? And by that I mean, has your undercover investigation or explanation resulted in the industry responding?
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. I think sometimes we're part of a trend where you start to see movement. Mm-hmm. You know, we're never the first person saying something. We're the people saying it funniest, and we're saying it in a place where people don't, people don't normally have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so we did a thing on Luxottica, right? Luxottica is the conglomerate that owns almost every glasses company.
Oh,
I didn't know this. When you go to a glasses store, you go to a LensCrafters, that's owned by Luxottica. All the brands in the store are owned by Luxottica.
Is that right?
Yeah, they manufacture them, and they also run eye care insurance, vision insurance, stuff like that. So they're vertically integrated like that. And so they can jack up the prices everywhere along the way. And so that's why, you know, you started seeing brands like Warby Parker come out. They're suddenly selling similar glasses for $100, where LensCrafters are selling them for $500, right? But still, like, they own like something like 70% of the market, 80% of the market. Now, we did that. 60 Minutes had already done a piece on it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it a couple years later. Luxottica sent a cease and desist to the Huffington Post, I think, for reporting on our piece.
That's a badge of honor.
But now you guys... About us. They sent
but not you guys? You didn't get a cease and desist?
They didn't send it to us specifically.
Oh,
they,
come
were
on.
They were trying to bully HuffPo.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. I want to hear. I want to get it specifically
of
myself.
Course.
I want to get hit with the lawyer letter. But because we're like, hey, this stuff is true. Like,
yeah.
It's fully researched. We've got citations for everything. We don't go out on a limb and insult people who, you know, where this isn't already known.
Right. Right?
We're going after the work of journalists, scholars, people like that.
What's the topic that you get the most negative reaction to?
You know, we do a lot. Topics about, not a lot, but we do occasionally do topics about race in America, the history of race in America. We talk about segregation, about redlining, which was how, you know, if you ever wondered, like I did growing up, hey, why is everyone in my suburb like white and the black suburbs over there? Oh, that's why is that, right? It's because when the suburbs were being laid out, black Americans were specifically prohibited from getting home loans in certain areas. It was a practice called redlining. And like, it's a matter of historical record, right? And it segregated our suburbs. It also ended up segregating the schools because the home values are different. And our schools today are actually more segregated than they were in the 60s.
Wow.
Like, we have this narrative that we integrated our schools. We removed the laws that prevented us from integrating it, but then we never actually integrated them, right?
And who got mad at that?
Racists did.
What? Why? Yeah. What? Nuts.
I mean, if you didn't think, well, I don't think anyone thinks racists don't exist anymore because now that they're on the internet, they just get to be very loud all the
yes.
time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, people like, yeah, people who are racist.
Gerrymandering
like
is the same thing, just for yeah. voting, basically.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Gerrymandering, similar. People who are really entrenched in like making sure one side wins over the other don't like us talking about gerrymandering, which is...
Yeah. Adam, have you been able to tackle the Electoral College yet?
Yes, that was something we did in our very first season. Yeah, we talked about the Electoral College and how terrible
well,
it is for
democracy. Well,
you failed
then, because we still have it.
Yeah, I know. That is the problem, that like something that big, we're like... Because I came into it all a hot-headed comedian. Yeah, I'm going to take down the Electoral College and tell them the truth, right? And then, like, a year later, I was like, oh, man, it's still around.
Yeah.
We didn't.
And I, by the way, that's another thing that I think, like, everyone knows. Everyone knows
everyone
it's a
knows
terrible
that.
Idea.
Yeah. It's a terrible idea.
Yeah. And yet still.
There were reasons for it at the beginning that don't exist in the age of mass media.
Yes, very true.
And that's the simplest way to explain it. Okay, we're almost out of time. Why the podcast? It sounds like you're already very busy doing the TV
yes.
show. The podcast is kind of an extension, factually, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The podcast is called Factually. It's really awesome. So on the TV show, we have these incredible experts on the show mm-hmm. who back up what I'm saying and give us more information. On the TV show, I only get to talk to them for like 2 or 3 minutes, but I would start having these incredible conversations with them after we yelled cut, like over lunch and stuff like that. I said, let's start a podcast where we can get them in and I can talk to these folks for 2 hours. So, yeah, it's really, really great. I drop a little bit of knowledge right at the beginning of the show. And then, you know, we talk to, you know, I just talked to a woman last week who discovers exoplanets. She's an astronomer and she's like one of the people on the forefront of finding planets, you know, around the galaxy. They're discovering new planets every day. There's like a revolution in it. Yeah, it's insane. She was telling me how she did it, exactly how it works. She was like, you can come down sometime. We have planet finding parties. You can come like look at the data with us. I was like, this is great, you know? So I get to talk to some of the most fascinating people. It's really awesome. Please check it out. It's called Factually.
You are such a geek.
I'm an incredible geek.
I think I speak for the room when I say we are here for it.
Thank you so
Sounds
much.
Great. The TV show airs Tuesday nights at 10 on True TV. The podcast is called Factually. Adam Conover has been our guest. Let's not make it so long next time.
This day in history with Old Man Ruben.
1956. Okay, so I'm bodyboarding in Lake Windermere in northwest England. Rough waves that day. Some dude named Norman Buckley speeds by in a motorboat and he was gunning it on some Miami Vice. I'd find out later he broke the world water speed record right then, going over 79 miles an hour. History, right before my eyes. That was also the day I captured my best friend, Mr. Claus, an adult lobster who still lives with me today. Isn't that right, Mr. Claus?
Yes, it is, Reuben. Love you, Reuben.
I love you too, Mr. Claus.
See, because Reuben is old.
It's getting weirder.
What is going on?
He also has dementia, not just old.
Very weird.
He has a talking lobster, you guys. The stuff we learned about Old Man Reuben.
Yeah.
All right, it's 9:41 on this Tuesday morning. Time for one final look at what's happening in the world. Oh, showbiz. Hey, Allie.
Oh, well, these are two great tastes that taste great together. You've got Billie Eilish.
Yes.
We love
yeah,
her. You've sure. got the Interrupters. We love them.
Love them, correct.
Especially Kevin, yeah.
So the Interrupters have been covering Billie Eilish's hit Bad Guy on tour all summer long. And then they just had a chance to go and record it in the studio. They did it in one take.
Whoa.
Would you like to hear
Please.
The
Very
Interrupters
much.
covering Billie Eilish's Bad Guy.
So you're a tough guy, like a really rough guy, just can't get enough guy, just always so buff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mom a sad type, make your girl from that type, must seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
Gotta be honest, I love that.
I love them so much. Captured live in one take. Come on. They are so not us, is essentially what I am saying here, you
guys. They're professionals?
They are absolutely professionals. I love it so very much. Guys, this is big news because Netflix is, of course, losing their two most watched shows. Friends is heading over to HBO Max next spring, and The Office is going to leave, head on over in 2021. I believe they're going to the Peacock, right?
Duh.
All right, good. So they're losing their two most watched shows. So to help soften the blow, Netflix announced yesterday that they have landed the global rights to Seinfeld. Yay! Beginning in 2021. It has been on Hulu since 2015. And I'm seeing everywhere that terms were not disclosed, but Netflix paid far more than the $500 million that NBC Universal paid for The Office. So
far more.
More than that is what I am seeing.
Because here's my thought, right? These, like, comfort shows, mm-hmm. like the ones you watch before you go to bed that kind of just, like, aimlessly go through, I think those are the bread and butter of these services.
We just, yeah, we're friends,
yeah.
The Office.
Law and Order, like the ones.
People that say, I watch those, and that's how I fall asleep.
Yeah.
These are those shows, and Seinfeld is definitely that show.
And Big Bang Theory supposedly just went through a big sale for streaming. So, I mean, as much as they say Stranger Things and all these shows that are popular that are original, I assume based on what they're paying for these old shows,
yeah,
that's what you're buying it for.
Absolutely.
I mean, who says I can't find Seinfeld on TV? Where am I going to find it? Like, who's ever said that? It's on every
Nobody.
Minute.
But if you come across it, do you stay on watching
Always.
It?
100%.
Yeah. That's the goal.
One of those.
I like it. I like it a lot.
You guys, Blink-182's Mark Hoppus has released a cover of the Cars classic tune, Just What I Needed, in honor of the late lead singer of the Cars, Rick Ocasek. And he said, a couple years ago, I was asked to record a creepy cover of Just What I Needed for a TV show. They wanted moody, strange, dark, and droney, with space for dialogue to go over it. So he headed into the studio and he said, but if you can imagine a grim and grizzled detective determinedly working a murder case that shook him to the very core of their being. This is the music that the show requested. Unfortunately, the show was canceled. That episode never aired, so people had never heard the song until yesterday when he put it on his SoundCloud. So here is Mark Hoppus with his cover of the Cars classic tune, Just What I Needed. I don't mind you hanging out, talking in your sleep. I guess you're just what I needed. I needed someone to feed. I guess you're just what I needed. I needed someone to feed. I think it's hot. It's hot. Mm-hmm. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm gonna go get it. That's a keeper right there. Heard it here first. They nailed Moody and Strange for sure.
Sure did.
It just has a whole new vibe to the song for sure. So if you want that, Mark Hoppus put it on his SoundCloud.
Perfect for Halloween.
Oh, thank you. Kanye West has finally confirmed the release date, title, and track list for his 9th studio album, Jesus Is King. The project, Hallelujah. Previously known as Yandi. Is that like Gandhi, but with his name?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Like he did with Jesus, yeah.
Stop it. It's going to come out September 27th and feature 12 songs. Who is excited?
When it's said and done, if you look at the past 10 years, have I contributed more or took away more from the world?
It's a great question. Anyone in here excited for that?
I will always at least listen to new Kanye West movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Always.
There also could be, music.
There could. What did I say?
I thought you said movies.
No music. There could be some undiscovered gems in there. Who knows? There could be a great song on that album.
Absolutely.
I
don't.
I mean, I'm certainly not expecting the caliber of, you know, his seminal records that were, you know, back to front bangers. But there could be something worth listening to in there. Jensen, you wrote a book with Kanye West in the title.
I did.
Where are you with Kanye now?
Well, the old Kanye, man.
Yeah.
I still like Kanye production. I still think that stuff's really great. Stuff he did for Nas, Pusha T, etc. But, like, I don't care. I mean, it's, when you ask people who love Kanye West what they've loved the most about him, right. His album's from 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not, there's nothing
Yeah, like
current.
The first four albums, he's the greatest artist in the world.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And then everything since 808s has been basically kind of
I miss the old Kanye. Straight from the gold Kanye. Chop up the soul Kanye. Set on his goals Kanye.
Yeah, I agree, Kanye.
What's the point of thinking? Mm.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Allie? You in?
I haven't listened to Kanye since Late Registration.
Okay.
All right.
Great album.
Great album.
I didn't know who I was until I heard this album.
Amen. It was like, wake up, Miss McKay. Right?
So you got out early.
Yeah.
Yay. Gotcha.
See, that was the
yeah.
first track is mm-hmm. Wake Up, wake Mr. Up. West.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
Just, I changed it to my name. So, Dancing with the Stars premiered last night, and the only reason I knew that was because people were posting pictures of Sean Spicer's yellow top all over my Twitter. I didn't need to see it. I still don't care.
Was it yellow? It looked lime green to me.
I don't care.
Okay.
But I found this out, which I had no idea, that Christie Brinkley had to step down.
Yeah, she got injured.
Yeah. A freak accident. She broke her arm during rehearsals
wow.
last week. And this is, I'm going to say, this is such a female thing to say. She was reliving the accident through an interview with People magazine. She said, the second I landed, I felt the shards in my arm. Like, I literally felt it in my wrist. And I just instantly looked up and said, I'm so sorry. I broke my arm. That's such a woman thing wow. to be like, I'm so sorry. I have broken my arm. I really apologize to you, Mr. Dance Instructor Guy.
But, and then she probably went to the doctor.
She did. She did.
Oh, that's the smart thing to do. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. she said there's a little bone at the thumb that usually posts one way. Mine was in the opposite direction. Oh. Then there was bone. Just bone. Shattered into 1,000 little pieces. She had major surgery on her wrist and her arm, you guys. Dancing. Dancing is hard.
Dancing is hard.
Well, when you fall, it's hard, yeah.
Yeah, what if you fall over a dog?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't know what the point is there, but yeah.
She went to a doctor and found out it was really bad.
That's
you
terrible.
Fell and you think refractured your hand.
In a different place.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So what do they do when they're down a person?
Well, you have your 21-year-old beautiful daughter, Christy, Sailor. Christy's 21-year-old daughter, Sailor, has taken her place in the competition.
That seems bogus.
Which I feel is well, how scary, though, for Sailor. She only had then 1 week to rehearse, maybe
yeah,
even
she's
less.
Yeah, she's up against Sean Spicer first week, so that's a like
point.
A pass.
It is yellow
it's
green.
A bye almost, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I see why they did that, but she doesn't exactly qualify as a star for Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, that has been given up a long time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't care as much.
Good times.
I do think that Sean Spicer's outfit was selected by a gay wardrobe stylist, though.
Oh, yeah. Totally PO'd.
Sabotage City.
Yeah.
He looked awful.
Wasn't there some other controversy, minor controversy, out of Mr. Spicer's appearance last night about asking people to do it for Jesus or something?
Yeah.
Or pray for
what?
Me? Was
Mike
there something like...
Mike Huckabee, stand-up comedian extraordinaire on Twitter, who thinks he's very funny and is not, tweeted something along the lines of, like, help out our friend... He went out there and, you know, did something that wasn't easy for him. Sean Spicer, go ahead and vote Dancing with the Stars. And Sean Spicer, to paraphrase, wrote back and was like, absolutely, you know, the judges weren't going to help me out. Basically, you know, everyone out there, let's do this for those who believe in Jesus. So he was asking for people who believe in Jesus.
So because the godless liberals will never vote for him because of his politics, he thinks,
it
now
appear,
we have to,
yeah.
Now he's trying to kind of rally the Jesus people
correct.
To vote for him.
Okay.
Yeah,
Satan.
Huh. I will tell you,
God, please help him win Dancing with the Stars.
I mean, people pray for sports teams, so is it
yeah.
much different?
Yeah, but, you're right.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I hope Jesus is working miracles and all these things in Darfur and goes, oh, hold on, gotta fix this Dancing with the Stars thing.
I mean, it's not Jesus, it's right. God. God, you're such a Jew. some birthdays for you. Cassandra
we had
Peterson.
We had to kill one of them.
Elvira.
Who you might know is so viral. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Phil Jackson, Bobby Lee, Baz Luhrmann. Who's that
Baz
for?
Baz Luhrmann, he's a good dude. He's a god to many.
Okay.
We killed Jesus. Move on.
She's trying. Someone's getting a little trigger happy with the sound machine over there.
What's happening? That's what's happening.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
And your trigger man goes crazy.
And you drive home today, listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial 5 p.m. hour. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean show, we have Bean Makes His Guess.
Elvira.
Is it Elvira?
A new fast food report. And our in-studio guest is Scott Aukerman. Cannot wait for Between Two Ferns, the movie.